government ministries are currently under the direct control of Iraqis.
I don't think that's too high a standard.
If you retire, you don't have anything to worry about. Probably say it three more times. See, in my line of work, you got to keep repeating things over and over and over again for the truth to sink in. You got to catapult the propaganda.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Harley Carnes. $25,000 the total bail for Lisa Nowak, NASA astronaut, Navy captain accused of trying to kidnap and kill another woman who she thought was sweet on the same man, a fellow astronaut. Prosecutor Amanda Cowan.
Murder was the plan, and it just was not able to be carried out.
Police say when Nowak confronted the woman who partly rolled down her car window to talk to her, Nowak broke into tears before squirting pepper spray into the car. CBS's Peter King joins us live now from the jail in Orlando where Nowak has left without talking. Peter?
Harley, the last time she took a very public walk, it was to the sound of applause as she began her first shuttle mission last summer. This time, it was to a clatter of cameras and questions. Reporters asked, why did you do it? What will you tell your family? And did you intend to murder Miss Shipman? Nowak didn't utter a sound, answer a question. She wore a coat over her head. A bail bondsman and her shuttle mission commander, Steve Lindsay, guided her through the crowd. After getting fitted for an electronic tracking device, Nowak heads back to Houston tonight. Live in Orlando, I'm Peter King, CBS News.
The credit card industry says identity theft is going down in this country, slowly but steadily. The total losses went down last year from 56 down to $49 billion.
Comparing the year-over-year results, it actually dropped by $6 billion in the last year, or down by 12%. So we are certain that while the drop is not huge yet, hope for that in the future, it is a significant drop.
James Van Dyke at Javelin Strategy and Research. Now, believe it or not, this is still a mild winter. Taken as a whole, CBS News meteorologist Brian Norcross.
Very often, if you're extremely warm, you'll end up at some point being extremely cold. On balance, though, taking the temperatures all around the Earth, there still is a warming trend, even though it doesn't feel like it in the Midwest and the East.
It's pretty tough to get testimony saying mild from the Midwest to the Mid-Atlantic right now, where temperatures range from well below zero to the teens and 20s. The consumer advocacy group Public Citizen claims some low-dose birth control pills have an unusually high risk of causing blood clots, and clots can kill.
Why are they on the market? Why are hundreds of women getting blood clots from them every year who wouldn't be getting them if they were taking older, safer birth control pills?
That's Dr. Sidney Wolf. He says the FDA should stop the sale of the risky pills forthwith. There's word just in from San Diego that singer Frankie Lane has died. Lane sold well over 100 million records in his long and illustrious career with hits like That Lucky Old Sun, Mule Train, and Cool Water. A friend says he entered the hospital for hip surgery over this past weekend, and there were obviously complications. Frankie Lane was 93. On Wall Street, the Dow gained 4.5 points today to close at 12,666. The Nasdaq up almost a point. And oil prices, 58.88, up 14 pennies. This is CBS News.
Wouldn't it feel great if just once someone said to you, hey, you know what I noticed? You're a really good driver. But no one does. They take your impressive skills for granted. Well, Progressive will tell you. They're willing to say, yes, you are a good driver, and we're giving you a special rate, a special lower rate. You could save over $400 when you switch, just for being a good driver.
Good driver savings from Progressive. Switch today at Progressive.com. Progressive. It's about you, and it's about time.
Progressive Direct Insurance Company and its affiliates, Mayfield Village, Ohio. Available everywhere but Massachusetts. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Need professional-looking documents? Office Depot can help. From small jobs to bound presentations, bring in your document or submit it at OfficeDepot.com. We'll ship virtually anywhere. Plus, our work is backed by the Office Depot Satisfaction Guarantee. Office Depot, taking care of business.
Whoa, Office Depot!
Certain restrictions apply. See store for details.
American military policy continues to change in the fight against terrorism, in Africa, for example.
Just weeks after the U.S. staged attacks in Somalia in pursuit of al-Qaeda members, President Bush has ordered the Pentagon to establish a military command for Africa.
Africa Command will enhance our efforts to bring peace and security to the people of Africa and to promote our common goals of development, health, education, democracy, and economic growth in Africa.
In a statement read by spokesman Tony Snow, Mr. Bush said, as the U.S. will consult with African leaders on how the new command can best respond to security challenges on their continent. Mark Knoller, CBS News, the White House.
Easy Bake Ovens. The toys for kids are being recalled because some kids have gotten their little hands caught inside and been burned by the light bulb that provides the heat. Easy Bake is a division of Hasbro. Nearly a million of them are being recalled. You can get a retrofit kit to make the opening a little smaller. Harley Carnes, CBS News.
Did you know your Ford, Lincoln, or Mercury may be trying to tell you something? Just look at your oil change sticker or your odometer. They tell an important message, when to change your oil. And when it is time, be sure to visit your Ford or Lincoln Mercury dealer.
I can help. I got two strong arms. I can help.
Right now, the Works Fuel Saver Package is just $36.95 or less. That's a Motocraft synthetic blend oil change, tire rotation, fluid top off, multi-point inspection, and more. Just $36.95. And no appointment is necessary. Now that's convenient. Genuine Ford parts. Expert service. Low prices. We've got everything you need.
You need a hand, I can assure you this. I can help.
Genuine Ford and Lincoln Mercury parts and service. We're better. We're proving it. And we want you to be the judge. Hurry into your Ford or Lincoln Mercury dealer today. Up to 5 quarts oil, taxes, and diesel vehicles extra. Disposal fee may apply. See participating dealership for service hours and details through 31807.
Peter B. Collins.
Who dat? Welcome to another edition of the Peter B. Collins Show, live, unscripted, unrehearsed, and we originate from the left coast of these United States. This is a live telephone talk show, interactive, some people call it. That's just a fancy way of saying we take your phone calls. We actually pay for the calls. I write the check myself every month. 888-5-PETER-B is our toll-free number, 888-573-8372. You can also email me, and people do. I'm grateful for the tips, information, and comments, feedback that I get. Peter@PeterBCollins.com is my direct connect. On today's program, Mel Goodman will join us in about half an hour. Served at the Central Intelligence Agency for more than 25 years. He's now a senior fellow at the Center for International Policy. We'll get his take on the recent shuffle in Washington, John Negroponte taking a demotion over to the State Department, and a new guy, Mike McConnell, running the intelligence agencies. And we'll also get his thoughts on the surge and a few other issues, including the Republican filibuster in the Senate yesterday. Then we're going to spend an hour debriefing Jason Leopold, who is covering in depth the Scooter Libby trial in Washington, D.C. We'll get a quick update on ethics in Washington because, well, it doesn't take long. Melanie Sloan from Crew will join us and talk about a California congressman who's in trouble for some real estate deals. His name is Gary Miller, Republican from the southern part of the state. That's all ahead, plus your calls in the free speed zone. Again, my number is 888-573-8372, 888-5-PETER-B. Now, you may be aware, and some of our listeners who are veterans either of Vietnam or Iraq are painfully aware, that post-traumatic stress syndrome, or PTSD as it's sometimes called or most often referred to, is a very serious issue. The California Nurses Association reported that in the first quarter of 2006, the Department of Veterans Affairs treated 20,638 Iraq veterans for post-traumatic stress disorder, and they have a backlog of 400,000 cases. This is a very serious problem that we are going to be living with for many years to come. Think of the people you know who served in Vietnam and who were traumatized by it, many of whom have yet to recover to this day. And with the deployment
of thousands of young Americans into the war zone in Iraq. This is a problem that is growing and causes serious concern. Ray Scurfield served as on a psychiatric team in Vietnam and later spent 25 years with the Department of Veterans Affairs organizing and directing post-traumatic stress disorder programs for vets. He's provided training to military caregivers, the VA, and other mental health professionals actively involved with Iraq and Afghanistan military personnel. And he's appeared on media from 60 Minutes to the BBC. And he's the author of War Trauma, Lessons Unlearned from Vietnam to Iraq. And he's associate professor of social work at the University of Southern Mississippi. Dr. Ray Scurfield, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
Nice to talk with you. And tell me first of your experiences in Vietnam, and maybe you could put a name and a face on one of the, you know, I guess most memorable or least forgettable cases of PTSD that you've encountered.
Wow, that's a lot to do in a short time. I think the first thing I need to say is that when we were in Vietnam, we really didn't know what this thing about called PTSD. It wasn't even an official diagnosis at the time,
mm-hmm.
And so really we were just using our civilian training to try to understand people under severe stress, Now we do know about the term PTSD. However, the military is still using the very same principles for treating veterans.
Which are?
In the war zone. Well, it's basically you treat them as close to the front line as possible. You treat them as quickly as possible. You tell them that they're only suffering something that's normal and expected, and they can be realize you're going to go back to duty very quickly. You give them three hots and a cot, maybe give them some medication, and a little bit of talking therapy, and within days you send them back.
So it hasn't changed from cavalry days. You fall off a horse, you get back on.
That's exactly the principle. It's because the military medical mission is to conserve the fighting strength.
Mm-hmm.
It's not to promote the mental health necessarily of an individual casualty.
Well, and testosterone, masculinity, the general mindset of military personnel is supposed to be so tough that you wouldn't acknowledge mental disorders.
Exactly. There's a suck-it-up, soldier-on attitude that's been around, obviously, through every war that one could name. Yes, and when you're in the war zone, of course, you most people do not want to desert their buddies, their comrades. And they feel guilty if they're not there with their comrades, because if you're not there, then someone takes your place, or they're a man or a woman short, and so everything drives you to go back to suppress all the issues, to push them aside and go back and complete your tour.
Mm-hmm.
What you don't realize, of course, is that what happens is that this stuff is submerged, and then days, weeks, months, years later, for a significant minority of veterans, up to probably a third, they have significant issues that will resurface at some point.
Do you accept these estimates here? California Nurses Association reported in the first quarter of last year there were about 21,000 Iraq veterans treated for PTSD, and they have a backlog of 400,000 cases.
I don't know how accurate those figures are. The 400,000 probably it wouldn't be PTSD, I don't think, because you're talking what the whole number who have served in that theater,
right,
is probably 400,000, 500,000. Mm-hmm. But historically, the VA marches to the tune of the White House. I mean, because that's the way it works. When I worked in D.C., I found that out big time. And basically, if the administration is in a cost-cutting mode, then you, as the head of the VA, will basically say that you have adequate resources.
Mm-hmm.
And several of the veteran service organizations have been monitoring this and have been extremely upset at the what has been described as a gross lack of resources to serve veterans, and that there are increasing waiting lists and so forth all around the country. That's what I keep hearing in different reports.
Mm-hmm. Dr. Skirfield, how do you suggest that we get around the barriers that are created to really dealing with this problem, starting with the macho mentality that says, well, it's only the weaklings who have this problem, and, you know, they were probably going to develop it in civilian life anyway?
You're absolutely right. That's one of the major myths that's out there, and it's very difficult. I think we have to first realize that going beyond war, that trauma is unforgettable. And that, you know, trauma, literally, you cannot forget it unless you use artificial means to forget it, such as substances, substance use. And that for people who survive traumas, that this is not something that necessarily dissipates with time. You know, the old myth, time heals all wounds. There have been several studies to suggest that for war veterans, that not only for a significant minority, does time not dissipate problems, but that there's actually an exacerbation or an increase in symptoms in later years. So these are things that I believe, and I've written a lot about, that I believe that the truth of this needs to be told to people before they ever go off to war, and to their families, and to our community. And these truths are not spoken very loudly at all. For example, a clear truth is that there's a direct linear relationship between the amount of exposure to combat and the likelihood of developing PTSD. To put another way, the more you're exposed, the more likely you're going to develop PTSD. And so that means who's at greatest risk? Of course, frontline combat soldiers. And, of course, in Iraq and like in Vietnam, front lines were a myth. But still, those who carry weapons and are in the front of the battle are most likely. And secondly, they would be people who have returned tours.
Mm-hmm.
If you're going back, if you're having your tour extended, if you have less time between tours and you go back on second and third tours, clearly that puts you at higher risk for ultimately developing post-traumatic stress disorder.
We're talking about PTSD with Dr. Ray Skirfield. We're going to take a break and return in just a moment. If you have a question or comment, or if you served and have confronted PTSD in your own life, I invite you to call. 888-5-PETER-B is our toll-free number. 888-573-8372 puts you through to the Peter B. Collins Show.
You're listening to the new KRXA 540.
Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
Hi, I'm Patty Ross, Realtor. What pops into your mind when you hear the word real estate? Security? Investment? White picket fences? Did you know that real estate is the single most sought-after asset on the planet? More people have accumulated wealth through real estate than by any other means. So whether you own property and want to cash in your equity, or simply want to take advantage of buying in this changing market, you need a qualified agent who understands market conditions and will listen to your needs. From Santa Cruz to Salinas, from Carmel to Big Sur, call me, Patty Ross, for a free consultation. I'm hardworking, experienced, and I care about you. Hey, forget the rest, get the best. Call me, Patty Ross. My heart's in it.
Contact Patty Ross at Keller Williams Realty in Carmel at 622-6235. That's 622-6235, or visit her website, pattyrosscarmel.com.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
Doing business in Santa Cruz County since 1950, Wilson's Tire and Service now has three locations to serve you better wherever you live. All three locations feature full service, friendly, fast, same-day service, or, in the words of hands-on owner Juan Escamilla,
we're fast and fair, and service is job one at Wilson's Tire and Service.
Specializing in tire, brake, and alignment services with state-of-the-art equipment. Looking for friendly, fast, same-day service from experienced pros? Come to Wilson's Tire and Service. Now located in Santa Cruz at 1807 Soquel Avenue across from Walgreens, in Soquel Village at Old San Jose Road and Soquel Drive, and now in Aptos Village across the entrance to Nicene Mark State Park. Questions? Call 476-0370. That's 476-0370. Say hello to Juan and get the Wilson's Tire and Service, full service.
I remember when I lost my mind.
And the Peter B. Collins Show continues.
Something so pleasant about that place. Even your emotions have an echo in so much space.
Returning vets face significant issues with post-traumatic stress disorder, PTSD. And I don't mean to be snarky here by playing Crazy by Gnarls Barkley. But a lot of people misinterpret the symptoms of PTSD as other mental disorders. And we have still tens of thousands of Vietnam veterans who are disabled, many homeless, living on the streets and wrestling with various chemical addictions or other problems that result from attempts to self-medicate themselves. And Ray Scherfield is a specialist who served on a psychiatric team in Vietnam and spent 25 years with the Department of Veterans Affairs in PTSD programs, developing them and implementing them. And Dr. Scherfield, describe some of the symptoms and the way many people misinterpret them or simply just write them off, that these are people who are unstable to begin with.
Right. Well, the unique symptom, is that there is some kind of re-experiencing of the war trauma in some way. And you do this through having memories, through having flashbacks, through having intrusive thoughts, where the scene just keeps coming back to you time and time again during your waking hours. And so that's the re-experiencing symptoms. You then also have a set of symptoms that encompass numbing, denial, avoidance, minimizing, and in this set of symptoms, essentially you anesthetize yourself against the overwhelming horror that you're experiencing. And this is what you normally do to be able to get through a war in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
And what happens, though, is that over the course of time, my good colleague, the late Haim Shatten, called these freeze-dried memories. One day they'll defrost.
Mm-hmm.
And when they defrost, they come back as if they were happening today or yesterday. And then the third main set of symptoms, as far as the American Psychiatric Association is concerned, are symptoms of arousal. You're hyper-aroused. When you're in a war zone where there's danger all around you, you become highly attuned to the environment, and so you developed a hyper-arousal startle response. You move at anything that happens because a split second can make the difference between life and death. And all of these then become ingrained in you. And most people bring these back to some degree, stateside when they return.
Would you expect that 10 years from now we're going to see tens of thousands of Iraq and Afghanistan vets living on the streets experiencing the same kind of trauma that Vietnam vets are evidencing still?
Yeah, I don't have a prediction about the number that are going to be homeless, because I don't know if we're going to have better programs to treat the homeless than we and to prevent it as we have in the past. But absolutely, from everything I've been seeing, I think we can easily expect 25 to 30% of returning Iraq and Afghanistan veterans to have significant post-traumatic stress. That's the lifetime prevalence rate for PTSD that came out of the Vietnam War.
Mm-hmm.
And we're seeing that already. We're seeing 15 to 30% in the various studies that the military is actually doing right now. And these are what you would call acute casualty rates. And always the longer-term casualty rate is higher than the shorter-term rate.
Let's go to Xavier in Santa Cruz. Thanks for your call, Xavier. You're on the Peter B. Collins Show with Dr. Scherfield.
Oh, hi, Peter. I've got one question, if you got time, but maybe a second one. First question is, I'm understanding that the federal government has been doing some research on MDMA, the drug ecstasy, in regards to post-traumatic stress disorder, and I wanted to find out if your guest knows anything about the latest on that and if there's been any work on that.
All right, and let me leave it at that, Xavier, because okay, I got other
sure,
callers.
Okay.
Thanks. Go ahead, Dr. Scherfield.
I don't have knowledge about that. Sorry.
Okay. All right, next we go to Phoenix, and I got to scroll up here. It's Curtis on the line. Hi, Curtis.
Hi there. Thanks for taking my call.
Oh, I hate it when you say that, but thanks for calling.
Hey, as a question for the doctor, I wasn't in the military, but I had a experience that was definitely traumatic working at sea for 4 months straight. There's a kind of a prolonged suffering in the cold and difficult working. There was a lack of sleep, a lack of food. I was actually a biologist on a Japanese ship for 4 months at sea, and I definitely had a traumatic experience just in terms of suffering. So after when I got back, I basically couldn't talk about the experience without crying. So it took a couple of years until I got over it. Now, that's not into the same degree what I would imagine the people in the military are dealing with, but is that the same kind of thing that the average person might experience?
Good question, Scott. Dr. Scherfield.
Yes, absolutely. Actually, you're describing a lot of the, if you want to call it, prolonged stress, deprivation, harsh conditions that are what you do find in a war zone. What you didn't have, of course, was the danger of people shooting at you, but you had all the other stressors, and clearly the military has learned about this, and they don't call it PTSD. They talk about combat stress reaction, and they talk about it as it isn't. You don't just have a problem necessarily with being shot at, that's a very big problem, obviously. It also can come from being exposed to the other stressors that occur when you're in a war zone, which would be the things you were describing, basically.
Scott, thank you for that. We have another Scott in Phoenix. You're next. Go ahead, Scott. You're on the air.
Hello, Peter B.
Hi.
And I think this is a very useful subject. The comment or the term freeze-dried memories, I think, is very apt. I wanted to mention the role of the what we could call the goddess healers. I interviewed some. There are many of them around the country. In ancient times, in ancient Greece, they were called the temple prostitutes back then, but aside from the negative connotation we have for that now, the women were understood as that their role was to help bring the men back to a balanced state of existence.
Well, let me get a quick comment from Dr. Scherfield, because our time is tight here. Doctor?
Let me just say that one of our problems in our society is that we don't have many ways built in to bring our veterans back and to have them transition from being a warrior to being a, if you will, a citizen.
Dr. Raymond Scurfield, we're out of time. Thanks for joining us. The book is called Lessons Unlearned from Vietnam, War Trauma.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop.
There's more than one side to every issue. Actually, there's usually more than two sides. It's important to get a different perspective on issues and current events, and that's what we'll provide you on Thursday nights at 10 on KRXA 540. Our show is called, appropriately enough, A Different Perspective. I'm Jack Quirk, and I'm your host. I have guests with a unique angle on current issues. I'm often joined by Phil Rapp and other guest co-hosts who bring their own expertise to our discussions. Join us each Thursday night at 10 for A Different Perspective here on KRXA 540.
Every Sunday morning at 10, listen to Rock Roller Real Estate. The number one Sunday morning Bay Area real estate show is now on KRXA 540. If you want to learn about investing, 1031 exchanges, buying and selling high-end homes, and where the hottest real estate markets are, this is the show for you. Rock Roller Real Estate, the Bay Area's number one Sunday morning real estate show, now covering the Central Coast. For more information on how to become a guest, call 408-892-3376. Rock Roller Real Estate.
Hello, I'm here to tell you about Central Avenue Bakery in beautiful Pacific Grove. Every day we feature the finest and freshest healthy whole grain foods with vegan and wheat-free options for those so inclined. We mill our own organic, fresh whole grain flour daily. Galina, our Russian pastry chef, turns those fresh whole grains into delicious masterpieces. Muffins, cakes, cookies, pies, banana chocolate bars, macaroons. She adds new items all the time. We also have a variety of whole grain breads, fresh homemade sandwiches, soups, and veggie entrees made with mostly organic ingredients. Our all-you-can-eat Sunday buffet with the top vegetarian entrees, soups, salads, and desserts is locally famous. We also welcome groups, parties, and catering orders. Stop in for a latte, snack, or full meal. You'll come back again and again. Come visit us at 173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey and the Old Granary Building, just two blocks from the aquarium, or give us a call at 373-2000. That's 373-2000. Central Avenue Bakery, where healthy and delicious go hand in hand.
Hey everybody, this is Larry from Acme Coffee Roasting Company in Seaside, and I want to know if you're tired of wading through hacky sackers and laptop zombies just to receive a mediocre cup of joe by some underwhelmed employee somewhere. Well, you come on down to Acme Coffee Roasting Company. Meet the local hardworking folks all around you. We roast the coffee every day. We're owner-operated and totally qualified. Why don't you come on down and see how we turned a little alleyway in Seaside, California into a place to grab a good cup of joe. At the corner of Broadway and Contra Costa, come on down, my friends. Just drink it. Resist corporate coffee.
Every Sunday morning at 10, listen to Rock Roller Real Estate. The number one Sunday morning Bay Area real estate show is now on KRXA 540. If you want to learn about investing, 1031 exchanges, buying and selling high-end homes, and where the hottest real estate markets are, this is the show for you. Rock Roller Real Estate, the Bay Area's number one Sunday morning real estate show, now covering the Central Coast. For more information on how to become a guest, call 408-892-3376. Rock Roller Real Estate.
And the Peter B. Collins Show continues, and I continue as your humble host, Peter B.
just how free is the free world? We're standing by to connect with Mel Goodman. He's the co-author of the book Bush League Diplomacy, and he's also a senior fellow at the Center for International Policy. He served more than 25 years at the Central Intelligence Agency, where he was an expert on the Soviet Union, a Kremlinologist, as they were known. And he's been outspoken in his criticism of the Bush administration on many fronts. And we rely on Mel for that really informed information, informed viewpoint that comes from somebody with his background and his service. So as soon as we get him on the line, we will start talking with him. Coming up next hour, Jason Leopold returns, and we've expanded his weekly visit. He usually joins us for a half hour, but he's been all over the Libby trial and has written a number of articles about it. And so we are going to spend a full hour talking with Jason, because there's so much going on at the Libby trial. And frankly, I am offended by the way the so-called mainstream media has been dismissive of the Libby trial, saying it's just not important, it's an inside baseball kind of thing. And frankly, what we have seen revealed is that the vice president himself was directing the smears of Joe Wilson and his wife, Valerie Plame Wilson. And why Fitzgerald has not named the vice president even as an unindicted co-conspirator is beyond me. So I think it's a very important case, and we will give it its due with Jason Leopold coming up next hour. And Mel Goodman joins us now. Mel, do we have you?
Peter, hi. How are you? Yeah, having some phone problems in the house, but here I am.
All right. Should we call the NSA and have them send out a service truck?
I think NSA's probably been to this house already, but I wasn't home. That could be the problem. I've started looking under the hood of my car before I start my engine. Maybe I better check the phone system,
too. Yeah. Well, on our program, we feel that we probably are monitored by the NSA, and Benny is the nickname we've given to our personal minder. We imagine him sitting there in a little cubicle, forced to listen to this show against his will all day long.
Good. Well, I'd like to listen to the next hour myself on the Libby trial.
Oh, okay. Well, you can log on to peterbcollins.com and listen if you'd like, Mel.
Great.
Well, first up, I wanted to get your reaction to the shuffle at the highest levels in Washington in recent weeks. Not only has Bush sacked a number of generals who wouldn't support his surge plan, but he demoted John Negroponte from the so-called intelligence czar to the number two post at State. It's clearly a demotion, even though they don't describe it that way. Mike McConnell has been tapped to replace Negroponte. And I just wanted to get your thoughts. Is there anything behind this? Did John Negroponte fail to be spooky enough for Bush and Cheney?
Well, I think what's going on in the intelligence community is very simple. This is the clear militarization of the intelligence community. You now have a retired three-star general who's running the Department of National Intelligence, the Office of the Director of National Intelligence. You have a four-star general at the CIA. Bob Gates has appointed a retired three-star general to become the Undersecretary of Defense for Intelligence. He formerly was a civilian. So what we have to be is the worst possible outcome in terms of how this nation conducts its intelligence service. Turn it over to the military, where you'll have a command and control environment, and then the White House and the Secretary of Defense, now Bob Gates, who politicized intelligence when he was at the CIA, can direct through a command and control system the analysis of the Central Intelligence Agency. And this is what worries me, frankly, more than anything.
Well, I hear what you're saying. I share that concern. Yet the National Intelligence Estimate most recently released is scathing, to say the least. And so are we getting good intel despite the militarization of that community, in your opinion?
Well, I agree with you on this recent estimate that came out on prospects for Iraq stability in reference to the challenging road ahead. But clearly, there's nothing in that estimate, and I've, of course, only read the key judgments that were unclassified and put on the website of the Office of the Director of National Intelligence. There's nothing in that estimate that you couldn't get from reading the daily newspapers or listening to talk radio or watching Jim Lehrer's Newsline. This is essentially conventional wisdom that Iraq is falling apart. It's exactly what the Iraq Survey Group was saying.
What concerns me is the politicization of intelligence on Iran, because clearly what Bush and Gates are trying to do now is establish the predicates for Iran that they established for Iraq in 2002 and 2003 to justify the use of military force against Iraq. We now see the same game being played with regard to Iran. I've been inclined to think that there was no chance of us using military force against Iran because we have dug such a deep hole in Iraq. But clearly, the administration has not given up on the possibility of using the military option, which would be a surgical strike option, not ground troops. We don't have the ground troops to put into Iraq. We certainly don't have them to put into Iran. But I don't think Bush and Cheney have given up on ground troops, and clearly Cheney is under a lot of pressure. He has looked extremely tense in the last few public engagements that he has made. The Libby trial is clearly pointing, as you said in the outset of this show, to Cheney as the conspirator in trying to undermine the writings of Joe Wilson, who was calling attention to the lies that the Bush administration was putting out to justify war. That's what this Libby trial is all about, and I agree with you. The print media want no part of it because I think they're embarrassed by it because their own journalists are involved in it. Judith Miller is in up to her ears in all of this. And frankly, Matthew Cooper of Time Magazine doesn't look very good either.
Well, I agree with you, Mel. And what I see here is, in the simplest terms, that the White House Iraq group wanted to leak the smears on Wilson and blame it on the very reporters you just named. And their gambit was that no prosecutor would ever try to get these journalists to testify. And so they thought they had built a wall that would permit them to indirectly leak this, or actually to directly leak it, but to make it look like it was indirect and it came from the media. And that was the cover story that Scooter Libby continued to sing when he was investigated and interviewed by FBI agents and later testified before the grand jury. That's my personal theory.
Well, I agree with you. But clearly what this trial is all about is how do you defend the lies that were used with regard to engaging in war in Iraq? Because it was all based on lies. And once Wilson or anybody else undermined any part of this rationalization for going to war against Iraq, the whole thing would go down like a house of cards. And, of course, that's what Cheney was obsessed with. Libby's big mistake was to lie to the end with the grand jury of the FBI. I think Karl Rove got off the hook, because he was clearly involved in this too. Karl Rove got off the hook because he started correcting some of his lies. I think he saw this game was a lot more serious than he realized from the outset, that the charade that they worked out that you just discussed wasn't going to work, because Fitzgerald was zealous in pursuit of this matter. I think he realized that he couldn't use the Intelligence Identities Act against Libby because the act was so poorly written in 1982 that he didn't think he could get a guilty decision in a courtroom, and therefore the Justice Department would want something tougher, and of course with perjury and obstruction of justice, I think he has a pretty good case, but I think they're going to cause so much confusion in front of that jury in terms of who was lying, who was telling the truth, what are the issues at stake, what laws were actually broken, that I think Libby is going to walk. That's my fear.
Mel Goodman with us here on the Peter B. Collins Show. If you'd like to join us, we'll go to the phones in the next segment at 888-5-PETER-B. Also, I want to talk further about Iran, but first I wanted to complete kind of my questions to you about the high-level shuffle. And I'm curious about the removal of Zalmay Khalilzad from the post as the ambassador to Baghdad. He, of course, was one of the initial PNAC people, one of the neocons who's been in on the strategies from the beginning. And, of course, he was in Afghanistan before they brought him over to Baghdad. He's now replacing John Bolton at the United Nations. And I'm most curious about Ryan Crocker, Mel, who has been our man in Pakistan, and is now being moved to Baghdad. I've heard conflicting opinions about him. He's described as a very earnest Arabist who, unlike many other diplomats, has really studied the region. He has been posted in many key spots in the Middle East. But the other side of that coin is that he appears to be, how can I put it, a diplomat perhaps by cover. He appears to me to be a spook.
Oh, I think I can strongly argue that Ryan Crocker is not a spook.
Okay.
Ryan and I were colleagues for 2 years at the National War College. And we spent most of that time from 2002 to 2004 arguing about Iraq. Ryan Crocker probably is the most professional Arabist in the State Department right now. Now, of course, this is an institution that has lost most of its Arabists. Mm-hmm. The State Department just not as well stocked with regional specialists as it used to be. But I have tremendous respect for Ryan Crocker. He's an extremely courageous Foreign Service officer. He was in the embassy in Beirut when it was bombed in 1983. He was in Syria when our embassy in Syria was taken over by a mob, and his wife was stuck inside that embassy for a period of time. So I have tremendous respect for him. I know his views on the war. I know he disagrees with the policy of the use of force. I know he knows the Sunni and Shia community very well. My only hesitation about Ryan is he the kind of person who's going to send tough-minded cables back to Washington telling the president how bad the situation is? And I have a little hesitancy there because he doesn't like to make waves unnecessarily. So that's my concern about him. But this guy is clearly an outstanding Foreign Service officer, one of the best I've met, very earnest, very hardworking, a real expert in terms of Arab cultures and Arab society, and, as you say, a genuine linguist. We don't have many like that in the Foreign Service.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad to hear your comments because mine are somewhat speculative, and I want to acknowledge that. It just seems that the way he was moved, and particularly that he had been in Pakistan, I consider that to be a highly politicized diplomatic post.
Politicized, but I consider that probably the toughest diplomatic assignment in the world right now, even tougher than Iraq. Because of Musharraf's very difficult situation, our dependency on Pakistan because of the Taliban situation and the fact that the Pakistani intelligence service is providing support sustenance to the Taliban, and the fact that Osama bin Laden and his high-level cohorts, the ones that were left, are obviously holed up along the Pakistani-Afghan border, and there are limits on what Musharraf can do about all of this. And Pakistan is already a failing state, but it's a failing state with nuclear weapons. If it gets much worse and Musharraf is ousted, we've got a terrible situation that we're facing in Pakistan. So it took an outstanding and courageous ambassador to take on an assignment like that. Crocker has taken on some tough assignments in recent years. I think, frankly, that was the toughest, and in some ways it's even tougher than what he's about to do in Iraq.
Very interesting. We'll continue in just a moment. Mel Goodman, our guest, co-author of Bush League Diplomacy, senior fellow at the Center for International Policy. If you have a question or comment, you can join us toll-free, 888-5-PETER-B. Your call is coming up next at 888-573-8372. I'm still your humble host, Peter B. Collins. KRXA 540, progressive talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz.
This is Laura Pruneda of Pruneda Real Estate Advisors. As your licensed real estate broker, our mission at Pruneda Real Estate Advisors is excellence and contribution, and our only concern is to promote and protect your interests. Quite simply, if the best result for you means no deal for us, we will immediately tell you. Selling but concerned about tax consequences? As a CPA, I can advise you of the implications of any capital gain. Seeking income-producing property? With a Stanford engineering degree, I have developed cash flow analysis to evaluate various opportunities. If you're buying a home, my promise is to help you find your dream house under the most favorable terms. We at Pruneda Real Estate Advisors are dedicated to our community. We will contribute $250 out of every local transaction to the school of your choice. I am Laura Pruneda of Pruneda Real Estate Advisors. Call me at 753-5310. That's 753-5310. Stop by 1271 North Davis Road in Salinas, across from Applebee's, or browse to prunedarealestate.com.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services.
In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand Avenue is your one stop on the Monterey Peninsula for fine wines, liquors, and beers at very reasonable prices. Let PG Liquors knowledgeable owner J.R. Medina and his son-in-law Chad help you choose the ideal Monterey regional or imported wine for any occasion, from an intimate dinner with that special someone to a formal affair with dozens or even hundreds of guests. If you're looking for distilled spirits, PG Liquors specializes in the finest blue agave tequilas, single malt and blended scotches, and top-shelf vodkas, including Northern California's own Hangar One. Beer lovers from Carmel to Marina, beat a path to PG Liquors, which boasts hundreds of handcrafted ales, lagers, stouts, porters, as well as all the big names. Make Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand, just above Lighthouse, the outlet for all of your beverage needs.
PG Liquors reminds you to always drink responsibly.
Continue now on the Peter B. Collins Show. It's 9 minutes away from the hour. Lines are open if you'd like to talk with me and Mel Goodman. 888-5 Peter B. is our toll-free number. Oh yeah, that's from the Top Gun soundtrack. Can you say mission accomplished? So, Mel Goodman, I want to get your thoughts about the latest situation vis-a-vis the U.S. and Iran. We know that there are now two carrier groups positioning in the Persian Gulf region, and the rhetoric has been ratcheted up. Also, there is we had the situation in Erbil a couple of weeks ago where U.S. forces went into what is described as a consulate-like facility that Iran has maintained in that part of Iraq. And I got a report today that Iraqi troops apparently have detained an Iranian diplomat. Are we seeing the kind of ratcheting up of tensions intentionally? And do you believe that we're trying to provoke some sort of a confrontation with Iran?
Oh, I think it's clear that we are ratcheting up this crisis. I think it's mindless for us to be doing that. But I think one of the reasons why Rumsfeld was forced to resign was that he was losing his enthusiasm about the war in Iraq. He clearly didn't think that the strategy was working and didn't want to go ahead with additional troops. And he clearly wasn't looking for a provocation against Iran. We've gotten a definite change in tone from the Pentagon since Robert Gates came in as Secretary of Defense, a change in tone on Iraq and a change in tone on Iran. And I think clearly the decision to send out the second aircraft carrier and the accompanying group of naval ships with that aircraft carrier is a signal that only can be directed at Iran. It has nothing to do with Iraq at this point. You'd only be sending aircraft carriers into the Persian Gulf if you were thinking of pulling out troops from Iraq and needed to protect yourself against that, and that, I don't think that's what we're planning at this time.
Mm-hmm.
So the accusations about Iran, the accusations with regard of weapons supplies, aiding the insurgency, all of this is being ratcheted up to make a case for war. Now, what's interesting about that, and here you raised the earlier point about Negroponte and why was he moved out of the national intelligence position. Clearly, there is a debate going on within the intelligence community because we know that the White House, and particularly Dick Cheney, once again, just like in the run-up to the war against Iraq, is charging Iran with all sorts of dastardly tactics in Iraq, but the White House is refusing to present any of the evidence for these charges in Iran. Clearly, I don't think the evidence is very good. I think that's why you're having these delays in releasing this data. And there's a battle royal going on, probably the way it should go on in the intelligence community. This was happening during the Vietnam War, for example, when the CIA was clearly making it known that they didn't agree with our tactics and that we had underestimated the size of the Viet Cong. Here, I think there are hardliners within the intelligence community, particularly within the Defense Intelligence Agency and the Pentagon, and even in some circles at the CIA, particularly the Counterterrorism Center, who are arguing that Iran is getting more involved in the insurgency, which I don't think is the case. Iran has no interest in having a very difficult border situation with Iraq. If anything, Iran has reasons to calm the situation in Iraq. And what we're trying to do, I think, is walk the cat back. By going into Iraq and overthrowing Saddam Hussein, we handed Iran a victory that now we're trying to take back from Iran.
Yeah.
It's not possible no matter what we do.
Now, you just referenced this story, and I've seen it mostly on CNN. I haven't seen it reported elsewhere so far. But Anderson Cooper has been working this over quite a bit on his nighttime newscast. And the allegation is that Iran has had forces inside Iraq who are operating as provocateurs and helping to stir up the conflict between Sunnis and Shiites. The evidence appears to be very thin, and in some ways this represents another failure of the American strategy in Iraq, if this was permitted to occur. Putting that aside for a moment, is the story accurate in your view?
I don't think it's accurate, and what impressed me is about, it was 2 weeks ago, Khalilzad, the U.S. ambassador, Zameh Khalilzad, said that within a few days the United States was going to disclose all of its evidence that Iran was supplying the militias, they were training the militias, and they were engaged in all sorts of provocations. Well, here it is 2 weeks later, and we've seen nothing, and there's no sign that the intelligence community is preparing any kind of unclassified white paper. They have not given materials to the Senate Intelligence Committee that's been requesting these materials because they don't want to be in another situation the way they were in October 2002 when they voted on the use of force authorization with bogus and fabricated intelligence. So I think games are clearly being played. I don't know what Negroponte's role was in all of this. That is still one of the great mysteries of all of this, why he left that job that he wasn't in very long. Now, he didn't do very well in that job. And frankly, I believe it's not a workable position.
Yeah. No, you've been a critic. You have been a critic of the proposed position since the 9/11 Commission issued that report.
The 9/11 Commission called for centralizing intelligence. That's a good way to politicize intelligence, by centralizing at the top. And Negroponte was willing to do that for the administration in the 1980s when he was the ambassador to Honduras and he was in the middle of Iran-Contra and involved in all of the lies and distortions that were behind our support for the Contras against the Spanish. So I've never trusted Negroponte to begin with, but to turn that position over to a retired admiral, and not a very impressive admiral at that. Mm-hmm. When I was at the National War College, he used to come over every year to lecture, and he was never an impressive intelligence man. He wasn't someone who was interested in strategic intelligence. He was always a very tactical man. He's not the man you put in charge of our estimative process, but that's where he is right now, and it's really weakened the entire system.
And as we sum this up, Mel Goodman, then do you see the musical chairs on the part of the Bush administration as a conscious effort to harden their team for whatever they're planning against Iran?
There's no question of that, that any doubters would have to go at this point. And clearly, I think Rumsfeld, the memo that he wrote in October and that was leaked to the New York Times on the 3rd of November, clearly showed that Rumsfeld was losing his enthusiasm for the war. And it reminded me of Robert McNamara after the Tet Offensive when Johnson said, look, I've had enough of the doubts of Robert McNamara. He's got to go. And he brought in Clark Clifford. Now, of course, Clifford told Johnson exactly what McNamara was telling him. Bob is not going. Everyone said Bob Gates was part of the Scowcroft school. He was a moderate.
Mm-hmm.
He was loyal to the father of the president. That's
right.
Nonsense.
Mel Goodman, thanks for joining us today from the Center for International Policy.
Every Sunday morning at 10, listen to Rock Roller Real Estate. The number one Sunday morning Bay Area real estate show is now on KRXA 540. If you want to learn about investing, 1031 exchanges, buying and selling high-end homes, and where the hottest real estate markets are, this is the show for you. Rock Roller Real Estate, the Bay Area's number one Sunday morning real estate show, now covering the Central Coast. For more information on how to become a guest, call 408-892-3376. Rock Roller Real Estate.
Hello, everybody. This is R.J. Moyet. Join me Sunday nights from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. for Sports Phone KRXA. Now all of us Monday morning quarterbacks can get together Sunday nights and talk about football, baseball, basketball, tennis, golf, hockey, softball, volleyball, kickball, bocce ball, bowling, rugby, lacrosse. Well, maybe we won't talk about rugby and lacrosse, but join me anyway for Sports Phone KRXA, Sunday nights from 6 p.m. until 7 p.m.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Prosecutors say astronaut Nowak intended to kill.
The BB gun was loaded with BB pellets and was set to fire. The safety was off.
Senate standoff on the Iraq war resolution.
It is obvious Republicans are not going to let us have a vote.
This is the CBS World News Roundup, late edition. I'm Bill Whitney. Astronaut Lisa Marie Nowak, it seems, was over the moon about her colleague Bill Ofeline, but authorities in Florida say her approach to a rival for his affections was truly out of this world. They say she drove from Houston to Orlando International Airport with an assortment of weapons and wearing a diaper so she wouldn't have to stop, intending to kill Colleen Shipman. CBS News correspondent Peter King has the latest.
After more than a day and a half in custody, Lisa Nowak left the Orange County lockup late this afternoon. Her attorney, Donald Lickerback, was angry about the attempted murder charge tacked on as she was about to get out of jail this morning.
They filed a brand new charge based on preposterous assumptions drawn from facts that are perhaps a misdemeanor.
Nowak left to the sound of clicking cameras and reporters' questions, heard but not answered through the coat that covered her face. She was taken away to be fitted with a tracking device, then home to Houston to await the next chapter. Peter King, CBS News, Orlando.
Nowak was accompanied by Chief Astronaut Steve Lindsay.
Our primary concern is her health and well-being and safety, and we're down here supporting her like we would any employee at NASA if they were getting into this situation. We're a close family, and we try to take care of our own.
Now this.
How are the tires on your Ford, Lincoln, or Mercury? Is it time for new ones? Or maybe just a rotation?
I can help. I got two strong arms. I can help.
No matter what your tire needs are, the smart choice is your Ford or Lincoln Mercury dealership. Right now, purchase four select Goodyear tires and get an iTunes gift card valued from $50 to $100 or a new iPod Nano. And that's not all. Bring in any competitor's current price ad on the name brand tires we sell within 30 days of purchase, and we'll beat that price. Genuine Ford parts, Ford trained technicians, low prices. We've got everything your vehicle needs to be at its best.
You need a hand, I can assure you this, I can help.
Genuine Ford and Lincoln Mercury parts and service. We're better, we're proving it, and we want you to be the judge. Hurry into your participating Ford or Lincoln Mercury dealer today. Call 1-877-310-3673 or see participating dealership through 31807.
Senate Republicans are still blocking debate on a resolution against the troop surge in Iraq.
Normally, these kinds of procedural disputes would get solved behind closed doors. Not this time.
The negotiations are over.
Democratic leader Harry Reid says Republican leader Mitch McConnell's using this filibuster to give President Bush what he wants, a way to avoid an embarrassing Senate vote against his troop surge. McConnell says he just wants votes on two alternatives.
What Senate Republicans are insisting on is fundamentally fair, not unreasonable.
Reid was pressed by reporters, why not just give it to them?
They're not running the Senate, are they?
House Democratic leaders are tired of waiting and say they'll pass the resolution opposing the troop increase next week. Bob Fuss, CBS News, Capitol Hill.
After the Senate floor debate stalled by Republicans, the battle over Iraq moved to a committee room.
The American people are saying, end of war, we
Interrupted now and then by anti-war protesters, Defense Secretary Robert Gates revealed he's considering options should the U.S. troop surge fail to quell violence.
Is this our last chance?
It is not the last chance. I think most people agree that it would have serious consequences for this country and for the region were we to leave Iraq in chaos.
He admits the surge is being delayed. Asked repeatedly when will the U.S. start pulling out, Gates said he hopes it'll be late this year, but he quickly added it depends on the situation on the ground. Barry Bagnato, CBS News, Washington.
After the invasion, Paul Bremer, the U.S. official who took charge in Iraq, distributed $12 billion in cash. At a hearing today, Bremer faced Congressman Henry Waxman.
The numbers are so large that it doesn't seem possible that they're true. Who in their right mind would send 360 tons of cash into a war zone?
It was not a perfect solution. But, Mr. Chairman, there are no perfect solutions in Iraq.
Walmart plans to challenge the ruling, but a federal appeals court has upheld class action status for a lawsuit that claims the retailer discriminated against women in pay and promotions. As many as 1.5 million women could be included in the case. CBS News legal analyst Andrew Cohen.
If this ruling stands, and it's a fairly safe bet that it will, it ultimately will put pressure on Walmart to try to settle all of these cases at once. Companies do not like uncertainty, and there are few things more uncertain to a bottom line than the possibility of a billions-dollar verdict after a well-publicized trial.
You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
Wouldn't it feel great if just once someone said to you, hey, you know what I noticed? You're a really good driver. But no one does. They take your impressive skills for granted. Well, Progressive will tell you. They're willing to say, yes, you are a good driver, and we're giving you a special rate, a special lower rate. You could save over $400 when you switch, just for being a good driver.
Good driver savings from Progressive. Switch today at Progressive.com. Progressive. It's about you, and it's about time.
Progressive Direct Insurance Company and its affiliates, Mayfield Village, Ohio. Available everywhere but Massachusetts. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Need professional-looking documents? Office Depot can help. From small jobs to bound presentations, bring in your document or submit it at OfficeDepot.com. We'll ship virtually anywhere. Plus, our work is backed by the Office Depot Satisfaction Guarantee. Office Depot, taking care of business.
Whoa, Office Depot!
Certain restrictions apply. See store for details.
We launch another hour of the Peter B. Collins Show. I'm Peter B. Are you ready? Are you steady? Can we go? Every week on the Peter B. Collins Show, we're joined by Jason Leopold, the investigative journalist from TruthOut.org and the author of a memoir of a young man called News Junkie. And this week we asked for a little extra time with Jason to expand our coverage of the trial in Washington, D.C. of Lewis Scooter Libby, former chief of staff to Vice President Dick Cheney.
Ready, steady, go!
Jason, I was off last week. Nice to be back in touch with you.
Good to be back with you, Peter.
How are you doing?
Pretty good. Keeping busy with the trial, which is quite revealing in terms of getting a real inside view of the of what went on behind the scenes in the administration just months after the Iraq war was launched, or we invaded Iraq.
Yeah. Well, Jason, I'm hoping you can fill me in on some of the things I've missed. I did go on vacation last week, and I was following things a little bit, but not in the kind of detail I usually do. So I'd love to have you fill in some of those gaps. But the place where I'd like to start is last Saturday, I was driving along in Miami listening to the public radio station, and they played NPR's On the Media. And that's a program that I generally respect, but they did a segment on the Libby trial that just left me livid.
Yeah.
Because they brought on Dana Milbank from the Washington Post, who kind of casually just tossed this off as an irrelevant trial, and he described that most Americans aren't paying attention and that they are wise to do that. And it really pisses me off, frankly, because while I don't think that this, you know, is the most earth-shattering case to come along in years, I think that it has very substantive issues that reveal the way the White House works, the way a smear works, the way leaks, intentional leaks, are used, the lies of the president that he would get rid of the people responsible for the leaks, the ongoing investigation that managed to slip around who the two people I consider to be key players who should have been indicted with Libby, and that's Cheney and Rove.
Right.
And so I think this is a very important trial, and I know you're not going to disagree with me, but I want to give you an opportunity just to respond to what On the Media said.
Well, you know, I actually totally agree with you, and I think, you know, specifically Dana Milbank, I find that his commentary on this is just out of whack. He does not have a button on what the what the general public believes or thinks about this case. And more importantly, his own newspaper, the Washington Post, has numerous reporters who are involved in this, who are being subpoenaed, who have not disclosed their role in receiving information about Joe Wilson and Valerie Plame, and just sort of hiding their own involvement in it. And it really basically diminishes what, you know, the role the Post played in all of this. And that goes for the New York Times, and that goes for NBC, MSNBC. The fact of the matter is that the media itself is on trial here, because what we've learned just in the 2 weeks that this trial has been going on is that the country's top reporters, the top reporters that we see and read and see their bylines, they have been, the incestuous relationship that these reporters have with the White House is something that is more than revealing.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually disgusting. And to see and hear somebody like Dana Milbank, who is supposed to be a sort of, you know, trusted reporter, disregarding this or dismissing the validity of this trial is again, I'm going to use that phrase I always use. It shortchanges the seriousness, or shortchanges the public and takes away from the seriousness of the case.
Well, and I think you hit a key point there, Jason, which is because this case does bring disgrace to the mainstream media, they are marginalizing the coverage with the excuse that the American people just don't care about
this. You know,
but we saw just a few years back when the FCC received the most comments from members of the public in its history over the media reform issues, and in particular the desire of media companies to be able to own more media, and that was restricted by FCC regulation. Well, they didn't cover that either. And
right. And
they said, well, nobody cares about it, in direct contravention of the facts, which is that more people cared about that and expressed themselves than ever in history before. And, of course, the gatekeepers decided that let's feed them more American Idol and distract them from
right.
the issues that affect our business.
You know, I've been reporting for a little over 15 years now, and I've never, ever, and I've reported for the Los Angeles Times and Dow Jones Newswires and a number of other mainstream publications, and I never recall a time when reporters or we approached stories with the, you know, with a preconceived notion that we had the pulse on the pulse of the American public, and therefore, you know, we're not going to report this because nobody cares.
Mm-hmm.
That was never the case, and it's becoming more and more, you know, the sort of excuse for not reporting stories. But, you know, I've been reading the transcripts. We've actually, at Truth Out, been purchasing the court transcripts from this trial and, you know, reading through these hundreds of pages. You know, what I have walked away with, aside from the fact that the White House knew a lot more about Joe Wilson, that President Bush himself was involved in the responded to aggressive, required people to aggressively respond to Wilson to rebut his criticism. The media has been so they are in bed with this administration. I can't think of a better phrase, but, you know, David Gregory, a reporter at NBC and MSNBC has been was told about this. A reporter from Newsweek, John Dickerson, from who was a reporter at the time, Time Magazine, now reports for Slate, was involved in this. These reporters, these mainstream reporters, are being hauled into court. They are being forced to disclose their own unethical behavior. And for a guy like me, that gives me such great pleasure to see, you know, the hypocrisy, you know, that exists among, you know, these six-figure reporters. And, you know, it's clear that instead of actually reporting the truth, and you know, they were being spoon-fed this line from the White House about, you know, the validity of Iraq's attempt to acquire uranium, and never mentioned that there was a campaign to discredit, you know, this this guy named Joe Wilson. And, you know, at first we thought there were maybe six, maybe seven, maybe as many as 10 reporters. This trial has revealed that there are probably 20 reporters. 20 reporters that, you know, that the administration was having conversations with. You know, we've heard from Matt Cooper how he had, Matt Cooper, who was with Time Magazine, how he had altered a quote by Scooter Libby in order to make it a little bit more stunning, if you will, how he was given information off the record and then, you know, published it anyway, which, by the way, I can relate to because I actually write about that in my book. But again, this is a, you know, when you hear, or if any of your listeners are, you know, hear somebody like Dana Milbank saying, you know, this is much to do about nothing, don't pay any attention to it, because it's the media that is on trial as well. And they're, again, they're being forced to not only talk about their role in this case, but their reporting techniques. And when they do that, it really does show the hypocrisy that, you know, exists in, you know, in mainstream media today when it comes to actually, you know, getting the truth out.
One of the interesting little tidbits from Kathy Martin, a former press aide to Cheney, still works at the White House. Her husband is chairman of the FCC, so they owe the Bush administration a lot. But when she testified, she said that she had advised Cheney to go on NBC's Meet the Press with Tim Russert, which only surprised me, because I would think that the Fox News channel would be the first idea that pops up. Hey, we got to take a break, Jason. We'll continue. Jason Leopold's updating us on the Libby trial in Washington, D.C. You can read his dispatches at truthout.org. And if you have a question or comment, bring it on. 888-5-PETER-B is our toll-free number. 888-573-8372. We'll continue with Jason and your phone calls in a moment here on the Peter B. Collins Show. You're listening to KRXA 540.
Are you tired of hearing no when applying for a home loan? Is your credit shot due to late payments, bankruptcy, or recent foreclosure? Do you need help purchasing a home or refinancing your existing home? Well, now there is help every Saturday and Sunday morning from 7 to 8 here on KRXA 540 AM. Listen live to national radio host Ken Michaels of Mortgage Makeovers as he doles out simple answers in plain English to your mortgage and finance questions.
One Day Income Tax Service, family-owned and operated since 1944, specializes in year-round professional tax preparation. Do you want your refund quickly? Stop by One Day Income Tax Service. They offer tax preparation at reasonable rates and work to meet the needs of military families with the capacity to process all out-of-state returns. If you prefer to prepare your own return at home, they can help you expedite your refund by filing your return electronically. Let One Day Income Tax Service assist you with your return and maximize your refund. Stop by 885 Broadway Avenue in Seaside, where no appointment is necessary. Looking for quick, professional, and reasonable tax return preparation? Visit One Day Income Tax Service, 885 Broadway Avenue, Seaside, or call 394-8010. That's 831-394-8010. One Day Income Tax Service, where you walk in with a copy of your most recent tax return, personal ID, and W-2 1099 info for 2006, and you walk out with your completed tax return.
Come on in, and you will see the Central Avenue Bakery. Smell the bread, try the scones, everything's a taste you want to take it all home. Vegetarian is a good affair. We make our meals in a kosher kitchen. I'll make mine falafel with hummus too. A side of couscous and a baba ghanoush, yeah. Open at 7 every day. Have a cup of coffee or your morning latte. Come on in and sit right down. It's the friendliest place in town. Central Avenue Bakery.
MPG.
For an unforgettable omelet experience, visit the Central Avenue Bakery today. 173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey, PG.
The days of wine and roses.
12-step talk uncensored.
Laugh and run away.
Saturdays, 4 to 5 p.m.
Like a child.
12-step talk, uncensored. It's about time.
Through a meadowland toward a closing door.
Good evening. Taking a look at your Central Coast traffic. We have an accident in Aromas. This is an injury accident, 129 at Rogie Lane. An SUV actually spun out, went off the roadway and down an embankment on the shoulder. So CHP as well as emergency crews are on scene. At this point, no lanes are blocked, but you're definitely going to be a little sluggish past the scene due to all of the activity. And an earlier accident slowing you down northbound 17 at Lark Avenue in Los Gatos. That accident had been in the roadway for quite some time. It's now been cleared. You may still see a little bit of residual slowing past the scene of that accident, though. You are going to see some sluggish traffic southbound 1 between Monterey and Carmel, and it's also brake lights eastbound 25 out of Gilroy into Hollister. This report brought to you by Welch's 100% Grape Juice. The American Heart Association recommends a diet rich in antioxidants. So where can you find them? Welch's 100% Grape Juice. It's full of natural protective antioxidants. I'm Dio with traffic on KRXA 540.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show, 21 minutes past the hour. We continue our weekly debriefing with Jason Leopold, investigative reporter at truthout.org. We're talking about the trial of Scooter Libby. And it amazes me, the newspaper and TV photos often show him and his lovely wife arriving for the trial with big fat smiles on their faces. I just keep asking, what are you smiling about, Scooter?
Maybe it's that pardon that's probably coming down the pike.
Yeah, I was just thinking of that. Given the stout defense of the vice president and others of Mr. Libby, one would suspect that he will be taken care of one way or the other. Jason, I want to give you a couple of minutes here to give us your overview of the strategy and the tactics so far of Patrick Fitzgerald. You turned us on to Peter Lance's book, Triple Cross, which is quite an indictment of the 1990s Patrick Fitzgerald when he was assigned to the U.S. Attorney's Office in New York and really failed miserably on some terrorism prosecutions. But give us your thoughts about his performance to date and his methodical approach to building the case against Libby.
Well, you know, it's pretty simple. First of all, let me just say that, I think that Fitzgerald is certainly presenting what would appear to be a pretty open and shut case against Libby, simply just by the testimony of numerous witnesses, including Ari Fleischer, Mark Grossman, who was the former Undersecretary of State, journalists such as Judith Miller, and in addition to some of the evidence he's introducing. However, on a side note, I won't be a cheerleader of Patrick Fitzgerald because there is, a lot of information that he has yet to Well, I shouldn't say just share publicly because he can't do that, but we're certainly sort of left in the dark about a number of things. His case, like I said, it's very simple. He's saying that, or he has, in his opening statement, he stated that Scooter Libby maintains that he heard for the first time about Valerie Plame from Tim Russert on a Thursday, but was actually informed about her, you know, a week or so before on a Monday.
Right.
He has actually introduced, has won a small battle in which he was able to introduce two newspaper clippings from the Washington Post, October 4th and 12th, 2003, in which the articles described the damage that was done to national security, or what would have appeared to be done to national security by outing Plame. And those articles come directly from Libby's own files and are underlined by him, the specific passages relating to what happened or what happened by leaking her identity.
And Judge Walton did permit those to be used?
He did permit those to be used. One of the articles in which it actually discusses the front company, Brewster Jennings, the CIA front company that Valerie Plame had listed as her employer, there'll be some redactions on that, but he has instructed the jury to disregard whether or not the articles, the substance of the articles is true, but rather take it for as evidence and consider what Libby's state of mind was when he had read the articles and the reasons he underlined it. And Fitzgerald has said that, you know, the underlining it is a motive that is one of the strong motives that, in his belief, that Libby lied. Because he feared that he was responsible for all of this and feared that his job would be in jeopardy. So, you know, he concocted a story about Tim Russert. And basically, in a nutshell, the testimony by numerous witnesses all you know, centers on the fact that Libby learned and discussed Valerie Plame long before, or weeks before, he claimed that he first found out about her. And witness after witness certainly testified to that. We're hearing from other prosecutors who have been working on this along with Fitzgerald. One of those prosecutors is Peter Zeidenberg, who had actually successfully won a guilty verdict against Jack Abramoff.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, the prosecution's case is winding down at this point.
But do you feel that it's circumspect in its approach? I continue to argue that given what's been revealed so far, Dick Cheney should be a co-conspirator or at minimum an unindicted co-conspirator.
You know,
I feel the same way about Rove. So is this stage one? Will there be further indictments and further trials? Or is this it and Fitzgerald has decided that Libby's the guy who's going to pay for this?
Well, you know, there has actually, it's funny that you mentioned that because in court today, and again, I'm basing this off of the transcripts I'm reading, Fitzgerald has said that the grand jury investigation is still ongoing. There was no context really to what that actually meant, and I'm only reading from the morning transcript, the PM transcript. The afternoon version hasn't been prepared yet, but he has certainly indicated that this investigation continues. And, you know, I don't believe that there has been anything that has come out that he did not already know about, which includes the vice president's own role in this, not just his role in advising how Libby how to respond, but just his personal, he took this on as a project, if you will. His pet project was preparing bullet points to get back at Joe Wilson. I think one of the real important things that we hopefully will find out if the vice president does testify is what he told Fitzgerald during his interview, because he was interviewed, not under oath, but that still doesn't matter. he was interviewed in this, you know, in this case, in this issue. And it's unclear whether he was truly forthcoming in that interview. So there very well could be, you know, based on what comes out or if there's new information that is revealed during testimony, during this trial, that he would proceed.
Let's take a break and we'll pick up there as we continue. Jason Leopold from truthout.org is our guest. If you have a question or comment about the Libby trial, get on the line now. We'll go to the phones in the next segment at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Aloha, I'm Jay.
And I'm Ginger.
And we would like to invite you to our family restaurant at Pizza Paradise, serving the biggest, best, and boldest pizzas from our Marina location at 215 Reservation Road. It's in the Marina Village Shopping Center across from Wells Fargo Bank. Try one of our specialty pizzas like the Ginger's Island Paradise, or for the meat lovers, a Meet Me in Paradise. We're open Tuesday through Sunday and offer a banquet room for up to 80 people. We deliver to Marina and CSUMB.
Call 582-9149.
It's a Pizza Paradise.
That's 582-9149.
Concerned about the steady increase in home mortgage interest rates? Don't panic or overreact. Now is the time to analyze the many available options and to choose the best possible course. Leverage the equity in your home to reduce or eliminate high interest and non-deductible debt. Victor Munoz, president of Creative Mortgage, invites you for a free consultation in his Salinas offices at 201 John Street. To schedule your free Creative Mortgage consultation, call Victor at 757-0436 right now. That's 757-0436.
Finally, someone is actually going to protect heterosexual marriage. This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network. Last year, the Washington State Supreme Court ruled that gay marriage was illegal in Washington. And now, a group called the Washington Defense of Marriage Alliance is proposing a ballot measure to put the court's reasoning into law.
In that ruling, the court said that there exists a legitimate state interest in defining marriage for the purpose of having and raising children.
Yes, marriage is for raising children, the court said. And so Gregory Gatto and his alliance wrote Initiative 957, which states that couples married in Washington must have a child within 3 years or their marriage is subject to annulment.
We feel that if the measure passes, it will be struck down as unconstitutional by the state court.
Wait a minute. Proposing a law just so it gets struck down? Well, yes, because Gatto is actually a gay activist trying to make a point. He has a sneaking suspicion, you see, that the prohibition against gay marriage has nothing to do with the stated reason of procreation and everything to do with America's fear of men kissing, as recently portrayed in the Snickers Super Bowl ad. But Dave, you say, this will never work. The law will never be struck down because it will never pass to begin with. Religious conservatives will campaign against it. Really? All the law says is that the purpose of marriage is fertility. Are religious conservatives going to campaign against fertility? Mr. Gatto hopes so.
Because whether or not the measure passes or fails will be a win for us.
Now this.
So where do you two keep the books for your contracting business?
It's all up in the old noggin.
Yep, all our sales figures are right in his head.
I see. Does that concern you?
Not at all.
Every waking moment.
You know, there's an easier way to manage your business. QuickBooks. You can be up and running in under 15 minutes. With just a few clicks, QuickBooks software lets you send invoices, see who's paid and who hasn't. It even makes tax time a cinch.
We need that.
Are you sure? I got it all right here.
I'm sure.
QuickBooks. Better, faster, simpler. Get it at CompUSA, OfficeMax, or Circuit City.
This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network.
Doing business in Santa Cruz County since 1950, Wilson's Tire and Service now has three locations to serve you better wherever you live. All three locations feature full service, friendly, fast, same-day service, or, in the words of hands-on owner Juan Escamilla,
we're fast and fair, and service is job one at Wilson's Tire and Service.
Specializing in tire, brake, and alignment services with state-of-the-art equipment. Looking for friendly, fast, same-day service from experienced pros? Come to Wilson's Tire and Service. Now located in Santa Cruz at 1807 Soquel Avenue across from Walgreens, in Soquel Village at Old San Jose Road and Soquel Drive, and now in Aptos Village across the entrance to Nicene Mark State Park. Questions? Call 476-0370. That's 476-0370. Say hello to Juan and get the Wilson's Tire and Service, full service.
From Truth. TheJury'sOut.org, our correspondent on the Scooter Libby trial, where whoops and I forgot are the key elements.
I don't remember a doggone thing.
Amnesia.
Remember, I can't recall. Those were some of the key phrases practiced by the Nixon gang during the Watergate era and reprised in a great Peter Gabriel song from the 1980s. This one's called Amnesia from Kim Wilson and the Fabulous Thunderbirds. And Jason, does Libby's team really think that this I forgot defense is going to work? I mean, to his credit, Fitzgerald has laid out witness after witness, piece of evidence after piece of evidence that shows he knew full well how he learned about Valerie Plame Wilson's identity and when.
Well, it's certainly, at this point in the proceedings, there has been some success by the defense to demonstrate that Libby could have forgotten, because they have actually put some reporters up there, or I should say that the prosecution has put some reporters up there, and during cross-examination, the defense has been able to demonstrate that they too have forgotten, and during some questioning specifically of Judith Miller, which should be of no surprise, that she could not recall certain events relating to her meeting with Scooter Libby and what was said.
Well, let me ask you specifically about Ari Fleischer's testimony, because he offered pretty substantive comments and then, under cross-examine, left a little wiggle room about, well, maybe I can't remember everything.
Well, you know, what's interesting about Ari Fleischer is that he definitely, I would say, that of all the witnesses, was probably the most damning in terms of the defense's attempts to try and demonstrate that everyone forgets, and this could certainly be a case of just Libby innocently forgetting when and how he learned about Valerie Plame. But Ari Fleischer did not waver at all. In fact, you know, his job, or his former job, was to say things with a straight face, and he did that here. And if he did not remember something, he did not actually say, "I did not remember." He came up with other words that actually did not really indicate what he had intended to say.
Mm-hmm.
So he really, he said in no uncertain terms, "Yeah, Libby told this to me. He told this to me on this date." Well, could he have told you something different? Nope. This is what he told me. I remember. You know, and he was very, straightforward in the, timing, the dates, and exactly what was discussed.
Mm-hmm.
But again, Ari Fleischer had an immunity deal.
Yeah.
And
let's give appropriate credit to Jason Leopold, who first discovered in a footnote in the communications between the prosecution and the defense pre-trial that an unnamed government official had been granted immunity. Now we know that there are more individuals.
Yeah, actually about six,
and,
including Fleischer, so that would be six.
Any other identities that have surfaced?
You know, there haven't, but John Hanna, David Wormser, two people who had been who were involved in preparing the 16 words that ended up in the State of the Union address, and worked with the National Security Council on putting out a statement regarding the White House distancing themselves from it. They are, I'm told that they are also on that, on that list. And in mm-hmm. fact, I had reported that, almost 2 years ago. So a lot of behind-the-scenes players.
Yeah.
And, like Ari Fleischer, I mean, the thing about Ari Fleischer is that he discussed Valerie Plame with David Gregory, a Newsweek reporter, and a Time magazine reporter named John Dickerson, who now works for Slate, who actually, has said in the past few days that he and his version differs from that of Ari Fleischer's.
Hmm.
But either way, when you put a a witness up there who has an immunity deal, it certainly does, you know, the credibility does, you know, come in, is called into question.
Right.
And, but he still did, you know, he still testified that this is what Libby said before he, Libby claims he learned it from Tim Russert.
And what is the process in revealing these immunity deals? For example, if Dick Cheney were granted one, when will we learn about it? At the time he testifies?
At the time he testifies, indeed. And, you know, that's part of the whole discovery process, that in order for the defense to impeach the credibility of a witness, they have to be told, you know, what sort of deal or what sort of agreement
mm-hmm.
they entered into with the government.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, it would, you know, it would not at least, you know, provide for a fair trial. But, you know, what has been interesting, at least in the past 2 days, or I should say at least since last Thursday, is that during the first time that Libby was questioned by an FBI investigator, which was in October of 2003, in preparation for that interview, Libby had gathered some of his, you know, some of his notes and prepared a folder, and actually had one of his assistants help him, you know, gather up some documents. And he told this this FBI agent named Deborah Bond that it was when he started looking through these documents that he suddenly. His memory came back to him, and he realized that he actually had learned about Valerie Plame from Dick Cheney as opposed to Tim Russert.
Right.
And that was in October of 2003. But, you know, this story, she certainly, you know, in her recounting of the story, it certainly sounded like this is really hard to believe because he had numerous discussions with Cheney just right up until the end of June 2003 about Valerie Plame, and then suddenly it just immediately forgot it, and a week later he spoke to Tim Russert and acted as if he heard it for the first time.
Well, and the history of Scooter Libby is he's a guy with a very sharp and precise memory.
Yeah, but I got to also say that one of the more, to me, you know, and I'm just saying this from a journalistic point of view, one of the more interesting things and newsworthy things that I find from this trial has been what is not on trial, I guess you could say,
mm-hmm.
is the involvement of President Bush, the rift between the vice president's office and the office of the president, the fact that, you know, they're saying that Scooter Libby is being scapegoated to protect Karl Rove, you know, all of these things that are coming out. And we're really getting some amazing insight into one of the most secretive administrations in history. And, you know, last week we reported a story about Dick Cheney's handwritten notes suggested that President Bush asked Scooter Libby to personally deal with the media in regards to, you know, rebutting the claims of Joe Wilson. And, you know, these handwritten notes stated that I'm paraphrasing here, but not going to sacrifice one staffer that
right.
was asked to stick his head in the meat grinder to protect another staffer because of the incompetence of others. But what he had originally written was not going to protect one staffer that was asked by this, that, I'm sorry, not going to protect one staffer, this president asked.
Hmm.
And this president was crossed out. Either way, though, what his note indicates is that somebody asked Scooter Libby, or at least that's what the vice president, you know, contends, that somebody asked him to do this. And I would be very interested to see if there's any additional information that comes out from that.
Well, they're going to hire OJ to find the true leaker. Let's go to Brian in Manchester, New Hampshire. Welcome, Brian. You're on with Peter B. and Jason Leopold.
Yes. First of all, Jason. Well, they didn't just ask. They already demanded that George Tenet of the CIA take the fall for the total lie, the pathological daily lies about the case for WMDs in Iraq. They already
right.
they demanded that of George Tenet going back to July of 2003, right?
Yeah. Indeed,
and this is I got this piece from the July 22nd, 2005 truthout.org, as a matter of fact, by great representative Henry Waxman. According to him, there's 11 security breaches in the Plame case. And he also states, Representative Waxman, I believe there's his words, I believe, under Executive Order 12958, the White House is required to investigate any reports of security breaches and take prompt corrective action, such as suspending the security clearances of those involved. Unlike prosecution for criminal violation, which requires knowing and intentional disclosures, the executive order covers a wider range of unauthorized breaches, including the negligent release of the classified information. There is no evidence that the White House has complied with its obligation to investigate any of the 11 reported instances of security breaches relating to Ms. Wilson or to apply administrative sanctions to those involved. And he goes on to list each 11 of them.
Right.
Disclosure of Karl Rove to columnist Robert Novak, July 14th, 2003. Next, and more disclosure, and then Karl Rove to Matt Cooper, July 11th, 2003. It goes on from there. Then, not interesting one on number 10 of the disclosures, the disclosure by an unidentified source to James Guckert, i.e., Jeffy Gannon of Talon News. And the Talon News has been. I'm wondering if this unauthorized, this basically totally unqualified reporter, quote unquote, who's got 200 times he got access into the White House at least, and sometimes to the living quarter area of the White House apparently. If this guy is he going to be one of the witnesses called? And do you think?
No,
Brian,
in this case.
Brian, hold on. That's a mouthful. Let's let Jason respond.
Yeah,
go ahead, Jason.
Jeff Gannon's name doesn't appear anywhere in the witness list, and he would make a terrible witness simply because of his credibility issues and
trustworthiness.
Yeah, exactly. So, but his name, either way, it doesn't appear on the list. And in regards to Waxman, Waxman has actually said that this is an issue. The Valerie Plame CIA leak case, the whole overall damage is something that he wants to take up in the months ahead, and that he will follow through with simply because the White House hasn't responded to any of his letters that he drafted back in 2005 regarding this. So, it's still something that that Congress wants to revisit. At least the Democrats do, but there's no evidence that the White House did any sort of check on what the damage was. But George Tenet supposedly has some revealing information in his book, which was sort of put on the shelf for the time being,
right.
At least during the course of this trial. That would actually shed a bit more light on those 16 words and the. How they got into the State of the Union address, how the reasons that he took the fall. There's so much more information to be revealed.
And, Peter, I think, they called Fitzgerald, they called this prosecutor the Irish alligator. I think he's going to be far more like an Irish salamander trying to take on this administration. He's really not going to – I think it's going to just be Libby's taking the fall and Tenet took the blame before him and the entire intelligence community who 10 or 12 times they were visited personally by the sitting Vice President Cheney
to the
CIA headquarters and intimidated by him to tell him that Saddam had WMDs. This is just disgusting. It's just a whitewash, it looks like now, and I think this, like I say, this Fitzgerald is not going to, the Mary Fitzmas never came.
Yeah.
Hey, Brian, can I make a suggestion?
Yeah.
Would you make a phone call or an email to a guy named Dana Milbank at the Washington Post?
Yeah.
And just tell him that you're one average American citizen who cares a lot about this case, is very well informed, and is insulted by
his
dismissive approach and his apparent ability to read the intentions of the American public.
I'll also talk to Walter Pincus, who he was the disclosure. That was number 5 under Mr. Representative Waxman, security breaches. A top administration official to Washington Post reporter Walter Pincus. And number 11 was by a unnamed senior administration official to Washington Post reporters Mike Allen and Dana Milbank.
Yeah. Very good. Thank you, Brian.
I'm glad to contact those people.
All right. Please
Thank
do.
You, sir.
We'll take a break and return with Jason Leopold, Leopold and more phone calls.
Leopold, I like that.
Leopold. And what about Armitage? We'll get to him, too. You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show.
You're listening to the new KRXA 540.
just arrived. It's Carmel, a treasure, a first, a combination calendar history book with souvenir maps archiving Carmel today. Entirely rendered in watercolors by Lisa Bryan. Stories, illustrations of local businesses, dogs, and a brief history of Carmel's first Bohemians, including today's places and characters of note. This brilliant calendar and book combo captures the charm of Carmel, a special gift, now available at Lisa's studio in Court of the Fountains and other bookstores and gift shops in Carmel. It's tax time again. And there's one progressive tax preparer in the Monterey Bay area who specializes in tax returns for W-2 and self-employed working people. Jim Moore Income Tax specializes in preparing tax returns that maximize your refund as soon as you need it. In 24 hours, 2 weeks, or 3 weeks, the choice is yours. The personnel at Jim Moore Income Tax have been helping the hardworking Spanish-speaking residents of the Central Coast with immigration and tax preparation services for more than 30 years. You can get your tax return professionally prepared and electronically filed by bilingual tax professionals at a very reasonable fee. Need your tax return tomorrow? Visit the office of Jim Moore Income Tax today, located at 30 Alexander Street in downtown Watsonville, just 2 blocks from the Central Plaza. Be sure to take a copy of your 2005 federal and California returns and W-2 1099 info for 2006. Need your tax refund tomorrow? Visit the office of Jim Moore Income Tax today at 30 Alexander Street, downtown Watsonville.
The healthcare system is broken. That doesn't mean you have to be. Capitola Physical Therapy helps you return to the level of function you need with skilled personal attention. Whether it's golf, tennis, walking, or simply getting out of bed and maintaining your balance, Capitola Physical Therapy understands, cares, and knows how to help. Call Capitola Physical Therapy at 475-1200. That's 475-1200.
Take a look at your Central Coast traffic. We have a major injury accident in Aromas. It's eastbound 129 just after Rogie Lane. An SUV actually went off the roadway down an embankment on the shoulder. So emergency crews have arrived on scene, and they are actually blocking the entire roadway in Aromas. So it's eastbound 129 just after Rogie Lane. Some police activity in the Lexington Hills Bear Creek Road in both directions between 17 and Summit Road are actually closed due to this police activity. They're hoping to have that reopened sometime by 6 p.m. tonight, but do be aware that stretch of the roadway is actually closed in both directions. Highway 17 through the Santa Cruz Mountains, other than the police activity, looking stolen and accident-free. Office Depot can help you create professional-looking documents from small jobs to bound presentations. Bring in your document or submit it at theofficedepot.com. Office Depot, taking care of business. I'm Diane with traffic on KRXA 540.
The Peter B. Collins Show continues. At the Libby trial, have any pants caught fire? We continue with Jason Leopold, and you want to answer that question? Anybody who has appeared to be untruthful so far on the witness stand, or is it all straight-o potato?
Well, it's in terms of the, you know, the prosecution side, everyone does appear to be truthful. I do actually, you know, question some of the earlier statements that Ari Fleischer made, specifically when he discussed Valerie Plame and why he discussed it, what he actually said. I don't think we really got, we were really provided with too much background regarding that. So, you know, especially when a reporter, which I think could simply be a knee-jerk reaction, the reporter says, well, my recollection differs from that of Ari Fleischer's. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I certainly think that it would have been interesting to see what else could have what he could have provided.
Yeah.
Because he did say, I mean, Ari Fleischer did say, you know, I discussed Valerie Plame with David Gregory, with John Dickerson, who I said it was at Time Magazine, mm-hmm. and a Newsweek reporter. And then it wasn't until September 2003 when he had read an article in the Washington Post that, you know, indicated that this was a serious investigation and that the
Bush administration was being looked at, and then Fleischer said he immediately contacted his attorney. Mm-hmm. So that doesn't, you know, I don't call into question that, but certainly, you know, again, questions of whether or not they knew what they were doing was, you know, breaching some, you know, classified, leaking classified information, whether they knew it or not.
Yeah. Jason, Judy, a listener called in and heard your reference to the transcripts of the trial. Is the public able to access this online anywhere, or you're getting it from a private service?
Yeah, they're not able to access it online unless they've got a lot of cash. It's really expensive, but mm-hmm. It is available for purchase. It runs about, you know, close to, you know, $400 a day.
Oh, okay. And for Judy, I would suggest you go to firedoglake.com or just look for the other real-time bloggers who are there at the Libby trial. I give Judge Walton credit. I've not been friendly to him in many respects.
Yeah.
But he permitted this unusual arrangement where rotating bloggers get to cover the trial. And Rory O'Connor has also been blogging. He was there last week and provided some very interesting commentary.
I actually think that, you know, I mean, my personal preference is Rory O'Connor.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I actually like to, you know, one of the things about the bloggers is that, you know, you're getting, you know, obviously there's a side that leans toward Fitzgerald and there's a side that doesn't.
Yeah.
I think Rory O'Connor is actually providing some real, at least as balanced as it could be, insight mm-hmm. into just the proceedings in real time.
Okay, Barbara in Cave Creek, you're next here on the Peter B. Show with Jason Leopold.
Hi, this is a little bit off, it's on the topic, but it's just a thing that I think, anyway.
Go ahead, Barbara.
That I think that this is really a cover-up, not about Wilson, but about outing Valerie Plame on purpose, plus her organization, because they would have the potential for, if they kept undercover, and we're still investigating Iran, Iraq, nuclear weapons, nuclear materials, that they would find themselves leading back to Cheney and Rumsfeld and Halliburton, and they would have uncovered everything else. And I think they got hip to the fact that they're getting too close. So,
all right, Jason, what's your reaction to her?
Yeah, I actually think that, you know, I think Barbara makes a really, really good point. And that's, again, you know, one of the sort of the peripheral part of this whole ordeal that we probably won't get the, you know, the full accounting on, is that, in fact, she was, Valerie Plame, that is, was involved in working on, you know, on the Iranian threat, if you want to call it that. And I think that there certainly is a reason to believe that, you know, if they were cooking the intelligence on Iraq, maybe, you know, at least getting rid of somebody who, you know, was working very closely on Iran in order, again, you know, to so the intelligence would fit their policy, you know, it's certainly valid. And I think it's valid simply because of what we have come to learn in the past 8 years that, you know, you know, the Bush administration has been in the White House. You know, you think that these things, again, it's saying it out loud somewhat, it sounds a bit like a conspiracy theory. But, you know, who would have thought that 8 years ago something like this would have happened? You know, and here we are. So I think that there could very well be some truth to that.
All right, let's go to Rick in Peoria. Hi, Rick, you're on the PBC show.
Hello, Peter B. I won't say thank you for taking my call.
Thank you.
You're welcome. I just wanted to ask, or just, you know, the Joe Wilson article was in the New York Times on what he didn't find. It sounds to me like that was certainly something that he didn't, that the administration didn't want to see written. Was he authorized, or was it okay for him to write that article by the
Well, you know, Joe Wilson actually spent months trying to get the White House through his own channels to correct the record. He had spoken. In fact, if you go back and look at that article on that July 6th op-ed, he actually says A day after President Bush's speech, he was with a friend of his, doesn't say who, a State Department friend, and reminded this person that that Joe Wilson had in fact taken a trip a year earlier to Niger to check this out. And, you know, why was the White House saying this? And that basically, you know, that was in January.
Okay.
And from that moment on, he started to, through his own channels, get them to correct the record. As far as I know, he was authorized to, to go public.
Mm-hmm. Rick, thanks for your call. Jason, let me just cut in and say one final question and 10 seconds to answer. Will Libby take the stand?
No.
I didn't think so. All right. Very good. Thank you for this expanded coverage. We'll talk to you next week, if not sooner.
You got it. Thanks again.
Jason Leopold, truthout.org. Coming up next, Melanie Sloan kicks off the Free Speech Zone with a report on ethics in Washington. Then your phone calls at 888-5-PETER-B.
Every Sunday morning at 10, listen to Rock Roller Real Estate. The number one Sunday morning Bay Area real estate show is now on KRXA 540. If you want to learn about investing, 1031 exchanges, buying and selling high-end homes, and where the hottest real estate markets are, this is the show for you. Rock Roller Real Estate, the Bay Area's number one Sunday morning real estate show, now covering the Central Coast. For more information on how to become a guest, call 408-892-3376. Rock Roller Real Estate.
The Billy Sunshine Show.
Billy Sunshine Show.
With P-Lar. With P-Lar.
Sunday at 3 o'clock, we're going to be doing something new, something different, or we'll do the same old thing, take your phone calls. One thing we know for sure, I'll have something to say. What? I don't know. I never know until I've said it. Find out what's the next thing to come out of my mouth.
The Billy Sunshine Show with P-Lar.
Sundays from 3 to 5. 3 to 5.
On AM 540. KRXA.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. Houston, we have a problem. NASA has issued a statement saying it's deeply saddened by the arrest of astronaut Lisa Marie Nowak. Today in Orlando, the charges against her were upped to attempted first-degree murder.
I would just point out that she had a mission that she was very determined to carry out, and that mission was not for the good of this victim.
Prosecutor Amanda Cohen says Nowak had a loaded BB pistol, a knife, a steel mallet, rubber tubing, and large garbage bags when she confronted Colleen Shipman in the airport parking garage. Nowak's defense lawyer, Donald Lickebeck, tried to persuade the judge that his client only wanted to talk.
By the way, they don't mention that this BB gun didn't have a CO2 cartridge and therefore wasn't operable.
She's been released on bond with a GPS monitor. NASA says Nowak's been placed on leave and removed from flight status. She allegedly wanted Shipman out of the way so she could have astronaut Bill Ofelein all to herself. CBS News space consultant Bill Harwood.
This is a very personal tragedy in a very public space agency because astronauts are looked upon as the best and brightest this country has to offer, and with some justification. And that's why when something like this happens in that very exclusive club, it's just a shock to everyone. And, I mean, at the Johnson Space Center, shock is the appropriate word.
Nowak is married, the mother of three. Forecasters say the coldest of the cold is over for now. After the temperature plunged to 42 below in northern Minnesota, it warmed up to a balmy 29 below today. The Arctic blast is blamed for at least 7 deaths. Moisture blowing off the Great Lakes turned into 4 feet of snow in parts of northwest New York. In Philadelphia, no snow, just bone-chilling cold. KYW Radio's John McDevitt reports.
Hotel doormen who spend the majority of the day outside are layering clothing to get the job done.
I have 2 sets of thermal underwear on.
This UPS worker was rolling a flatbed of packages on the sidewalk.
What are you doing to keep warm?
Layers. Lots of layers, yeah. And other than that, just walk fast.
The weather is breaking the stride of horses at Philadelphia Park. Racing has been suspended for the 2nd day in a row.
Fire officials in Bardstown, Kentucky say a furnace explosion may have touched off a house fire that killed 10 people, including 6 children. Reportedly, some of the victims were guests staying overnight because the furnace in their home had gone out. Medical researchers have been looking at the drugs commonly used to limit bleeding during heart surgery, and Dr. Dennis Mangano says they made a disturbing discovery about long-term consequences.
Protonin, one of the three medications that we tested, was unsafe, that it was associated with increased death over 5 years following surgery.
The study recommends the doctor switch to other less expensive drugs. Today on Wall Street, the Dow 4 points higher to 12,666, the NASDAQ up a fraction. This is CBS News.
So, you're a consultant?
Yes, sir.
What's with the wall of sticky notes?
It's my small business accounting system. Unpaid invoices go on the purple ones.
And the green?
New customers.
So, unpaid bills are the yellow ones.
How'd you know?
I took a shot. You know, there's an easier way to manage your business.
Yeah?
Yeah, QuickBooks. You can be up and running in under 15 minutes with just a few clicks. QuickBooks software lets you write checks, send invoices, see who's paid and who hasn't.
I'll switch. So, need a couple hundred sticky notes?
I'm going to pass on that. QuickBooks. Better, faster, simpler. Get it at OfficeMax, Best Buy, or Amazon.com.
The following is a paid commercial message.
It's estimated that over 200 million people in the U.S. suffer from herpes-caused cold sores. There are many products on the market today. Relieve One-Day Cold Sores Symptom Treatment is excellent because it relieves cold sore symptoms in just a day. Pain eases in minutes, and other symptoms resolve in just 24 hours. Relieve is non-toxic, comprised of botanical extracts, and is 100% guaranteed. Millions of sufferers have found that Relieve works best for them. Only you can determine that Relieve is best for you. You can now buy Relieve at most major stores.
More likely than not, you never notice, but hackers attacked the Internet today. CBS News technology consultant Larry Magid says they briefly overwhelmed at least three of the 13 servers that help manage global computer traffic.
This is a very significant attack because it was aimed at the root servers, basically the control cops of the Internet. The good news is that there is redundancy, which is capable of routing traffic around the affected servers.
Security experts say the hackers tried to disguise their location, but indications are the attack was launched from South Korea. You don't have to study the poll numbers to know President Bush's popularity has slipped. Just visit Crawford, Texas. The little town near the Bush Ranch flourished in the early years of the president's tenure, but it's gone from boom to bust. A souvenir shop that used to sell shirts embroidered with the words, "The Western White House," is up for sale. And Crawford Country Style has closed. Owner Norma Nelson Crowe blames the polls and the protesters. I'm Bill Whitney, CBS News.
How are the tires on your Ford, Lincoln, or Mercury? Is it time for new ones? Or maybe just a rotation?
I can help.
No matter what your tire needs are, the smart choice is your Ford or Lincoln Mercury dealership. Right now, purchase four select Goodyear tires and get an iTunes gift card valued from $50 to $100 or a new iPod Nano. And that's not all. Bring in any competitor's current price ad on the name brand tires we sell within 30 days of purchase and we'll beat that price. Genuine Ford parts, Ford trained technicians, low prices. We've got everything your vehicle needs to be at its best.
You need a hand.
Genuine Ford and Lincoln Mercury parts and service. We're better. We're proving it. And we want you to be the judge. Hurry into your participating Ford or Lincoln Mercury dealer today. Call 1-877-310-3673 or see participating dealership through 31807.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show in our third and final hour of the broadcast day. Just a few minutes, we open up the phone lines to hear from you in the free speed zone. You know the rules. You can comment on any subject from any viewpoint and call from anywhere within the sound of my voice. We even pay for the call. It's toll free at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. Every week, we check in with Melanie Sloan. She's Executive Director of CREW, that's Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington. Hello again, Melanie.
Hi, Peter.
I was away last week. I was in Florida, but I couldn't escape your work because I was in the Florida Keys, and there was a big billboard inviting me to gamble away my money on a Sun Cruise ship.
No, really?
Yeah.
Well, I hope all your listeners remember that Sun Cruise was owned by Jack Abramoff before he ended up indicted on bank fraud with Sun Cruise casinos and going to jail for 5 years for that.
Right. And I thought maybe it went belly up, but apparently somebody else bought it.
I think someone else did.
Yeah. Well, it was just a fresh reminder of your work.
Yes, and remember the one totally fascinating thing about Sun Cruise is before it was owned by Jack Abramoff, it was owned by a man named Gus Boulis, who also owns something down in Florida called Miami Subs. And he was murdered in a gangland-style hit shortly after he sold it to Jack Abramoff and his partner Adam Kadan, and Adam Kadan has been implicated in the murder. So more to come on that.
And the case remains unsolved, or is there an investigation still going?
Two people have been charged, and they are people who were hired by Adam Kadan to do the, quote, catering on the Sun Cruise gambling ships, and they were people who had been involved with the Gambino crime family in New York.
Well, they must have some really good recipes.
I suppose so. Maybe Italian food.
The sauce, yeah. Well, Melanie, I want you to tell us the story of Gary Miller, who is such a backbencher. He's been in Congress for a number of years, a Republican from Diamond Bar, California, which is in the Inland Empire near San Bernardino. And he's now under investigation for some very interesting transactions that were exposed by Crew.
That's right, and I'm thinking that perhaps Gary Miller might not stay a congressman for too much longer, given his new problems. But basically, last August, the Los Angeles Times first published an article questioning Gary Miller's use of an Internal Revenue Code provision, which is called 1033, in three land deals. And 1033 is what we call eminent domain, and that's where the state seizes your property. This rarely used provision allows tax deferment if the land is sold because you're facing eminent domain, and you take the proceeds from your sale and reinvest it within 2 years. Well, we read about this, and eminent domain is such a rare thing that it would, and Gary Miller claimed it three times, and that would be like being struck by lightning three times. That's about as likely as eminent domain is. So we read that article, and we filed a complaint against Gary Miller saying he had failed to report or pay any capital gains on these real estate transactions, and this was basically tax fraud. And, in fact, in September, we then put him on our list of the most corrupt members of Congress.
Mm-hmm. So this whole idea that eminent domain forced him to sell this property appears to be a concoction, but he went to the city council in Monrovia, is that right?
Right.
And there's a videotape of him asking the city to purchase his property. So he was begging for eminent domain.
Begging for eminent domain. And, in fact, still doesn't get it anyway. So he's begging for eminent domain, doesn't get it. He eventually gets some letter which says, well, there was always the possibility of eminent domain, but then they say anybody who asks for such a letter will get it. So anyway, when we filed a complaint back in August, you know, as you know from other conversations we've had, we filed these complaints, and we never really know what the Department of Justice does about it.
Mm-hmm.
But apparently they did initiate an investigation into Gary Miller. And FBI agents have been crawling over Monrovia and another city in California where he also sold some land, Fontana, another part of this eminent domain scandal, and FBI officials have been there. Gary Miller is now saying he doesn't know what these FBI officials can possibly be investigating because he never claimed this eminent domain issue. But it's very funny because, remember, this all came out in August of last year, so that's over 5 months ago, and Gary Miller never said then, no, he didn't ever say that, and he paid the capital gains. But today, that's what he's saying, and my favorite explanation he has, too, is, well, he's told the Ethics Committee of the House, and they're looking into it.
Well, and I had read one article that where he suggested that these moves had actually been approved by the House Ethics Committee.
Right. Don't you love that? As if the House Ethics Committee first ever does anything about anything, which, you know, as we know, they don't.
Well, they don't in general make evaluations of things in advance, right? You can't go and ask for a tax letter.
No, you absolutely can't. I mean, there's just so many problems with that. First, obviously, you can't go and get the House Ethics Committee to approve something that's an IRS issue. The House Ethics Committee doesn't trump the IRS. Secondly, you can't say, well, the House Ethics Committee is investigating, so therefore the FBI must not be investigating, or that the FBI is investigating on behalf of the House Ethics Committee. There's the separation of powers, there's the House Ethics Committees, and then there's the executive branch, which is the FBI. They don't, never the twain shall mix.
Mm-hmm.
The FBI doesn't act in any way on behalf of the House Ethics Committee. And third, the House Ethics Committee would never act if, in fact, the Department of Justice was investigating, because they have a long-standing policy, which I have sometimes complained about, that they won't investigate anything if there's an ongoing criminal investigation, saying they don't want to interfere. So the fact is, now if the FBI is investigating, the House Ethics Committee is absolutely doing nothing, not to mention, by the way, Peter, that they haven't actually named new members and aren't doing anything anyway.
Mm-hmm. So how much chicken feed did Gary Miller, the Republican congressman, clear in these questionable transactions?
Oh, $10 million.
Oh.
It was a very profitable proceeding. In 2002, he sold 165 acres to the city of Monrovia, making a profit of approximately $10 million.
Wow.
It's also interesting to note that there's a news story that appeared in a newspaper on the Hill today called The Hill, and it reported that in 1992, the California Fair Political Practices Commission, which is a state government entity that regulates political activity,
mm-hmm.
levied a $1,750 fine against Covina City Councilman Christopher Lancaster for accepting $8,000 from Gary Miller before voting in favor of a city resolution that annexed 52 acres of Miller's undeveloped land in a way that improved the value of that land for Mr. Miller.
Wow, he's quite an operator.
He is quite an operator. And I think, you know, we are only going to be learning more and more about Gary Miller's problems in the coming months, and I think it's going to be very troubling for his constituents.
And so the price that taxpayers are incurring to help him, profit richly from these land deals is some percentage of that $10 million.
That's right, because that's just the amount of money that he made in Monrovia. He had this other sale in the city of Fontana, and he had sold some land for at least $50,000 more than his original purchase price. So he has, and I also should add, by the way, that Mr. Miller, who claims he's completely innocent, has also refused to provide any of the tax records indicating that he has paid a capital gain or indicating that any of this is in any way in error.
Mm-hmm.
So it seems clear that the taxpayer has been funding Gary Miller's land deals, and that, of course, for a sitting member of Congress is very troubling.
It sure is. Well, stay on this one, Melanie, and keep us updated, will you?
Happy to do it.
Thanks a lot. Melanie Sloan at CREW, Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington. Their website, if you want to check it out, is Citizens for Ethics, F-O-R, citizensforethics.org. Well, it's time to open up the phones for the Free Speech Zone, and I'd like to hear from you this afternoon. We talked at length about the Libby trial. There's plenty to discuss there. We talked with Mel Goodman about the shuffle of senior officials in the Bush administration, the intelligence community, and in particular, the situation with Iran. And we had a powerful conversation to kick off the show with Dr. Ray Scherfield about post-traumatic stress syndrome, I always get that wrong, PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder. Thank you, Matt. Matt Renner's here to help me when my brain just locks up. You can talk about that or any other issues in the news. I've got details on John Edwards' health care proposal. In simple terms, he wants to provide health insurance for every American and soak the rich to do it. I'm not opposed to that. So if we'll detail that for you as the hour rolls out, and also share a couple of other news items with you. So grab a line now, and we will chat with you. I always reward first-time callers, so if you've never called the program, come on forward today. Let's hear from you and add some new voices to the mix here on the Peter B. Collins Show. 888-5-PETER-B, toll-free. That's 888-573-8372. If the cat's got your tongue and you prefer email, drop me a note, peter@peterbcollins.com. Or if you think I'm full of it, drop me a note at fullofit@peterbcollins.com. Just see what happens.
KRXA 540, Progressive Talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz.
Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares. The Carmel Valley Market is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Carmel Valley residents can now easily access the tradition of service and quality made famous by the Higuera family at the Grove Market in Pacific Grove. The Carmel Valley Market features the finest selection of fresh local fruits and veggies, as well as a full-service old-fashioned meat counter with USDA choice cuts. And don't forget the deli, with delicious fresh sandwiches made to order. The Carmel Valley Market is located at 2 Chambers Lane, just behind Wells Fargo in Carmel Valley Village. Let the Carmel Valley Market's professional staff meet all of your grocery needs. Stop by and say hello to Ian and Gary Higuera, members of Charlie's family.
Miguel Sarmiento, owner and chef of the Mexicali Grill in New Monterey, cordially invites you to visit his restaurant and enjoy quality Mexican food prepared with California seasonings and sauces, all with personalized, attentive service. Miguel has more than 14 years of experience preparing Italian, Hawaiian, Mexican, French, and American dishes in restaurants throughout Monterey County. Looking to savor the best Mexicali cuisine served with great margaritas or fine imported or domestic beers? Visit the Mexicali Grill today, located at 204 Lighthouse Avenue at the corner of Reeside Avenue in New Monterey. The Mexicali Grill is open daily for lunch from 11 to 3 and for dinner from 5 to 9. For takeout orders, call 375-9801. That's 375-9801. Miguel has a message for all Central Coast residents who appreciate delicious, high-quality Mexican food at reasonable prices.
Todos son bienvenidos en el Mexicali Grill. Try us. You'll like us a lot.
Major injury accident slowing you down in Aromas. It's eastbound 129 just after Rogie Lane. This is an SUV. It spun out, went off the roadway and down an embankment on the shoulder. So major injuries reported in this. CHP on scene, as well as a tow truck and emergency crews also are on scene, and they are blocking the entire roadway there. So it is eastbound 129 just after Rogie Lane in Aromas. The entire roadway is blocked by this accident. Santa Cruz County northbound 1 before Marmonte Avenue. Watch out for a stalled pickup truck partially blocking that left-hand lane. Los Gatos also got some police activity. Bear Creek Road between Highway 17 and Summit Road. It is actually closed for an investigation by the Santa Clara County Sheriff's Office, so they're hoping to have this completely wrapped up by 6 p.m. Office Depot can help you create professional-looking documents from small jobs to bound presentations. Bring in your document or submit it at officedepot.com. Office Depot, taking care of business. I'm Dio Traffic on KRXA 540.
Too far. You think we've gotten too radical with our message? Well, I got news for you. You ain't heard nothing yet. And if you don't know, now you know. Glory, glory!
Woo! This is the Peter B. Collins Show. I'm not a churched guy.
And act like you know if it is.
But I do have a soft spot for gospel music. And every once in a while, I just get the urge to pull out Kirk Franklin. This is a song called Stomp.
I feel like having some church up in here. Come on.
I can't explain.
All right, Kirk, thanks. That was refreshing. 21 minutes past the hour. The phones are jammed. We're going to get right to your calls in the free speech zone. And when a line clears, call me at 888-5-PETER-B. If you follow the wacky world of progressive talk radio, you may know that there are some changes underway. The Air America bankruptcy appears to have been resolved, and new owners will take over in short order if the bankruptcy court approves. Also, Al Franken has announced that he'll be leaving the air next week after his Valentine's Day show, and that creates opportunities for programs like the Peter B. Collins Show. And so, I don't usually do this, but because things are at such a critical juncture, I wanted to mention two radio stations and their websites. And if you're so inclined, you could visit their websites. At the first one, there's a clear place on the homepage asking for ideas for what they should do to replace the Al Franken Show. And at the other, well, you figure it out. I'm not going to give you the program director's direct emails because, well, that becomes too obvious. But if you would do me the pleasure of visiting these two websites, I'll repeat the URLs for you a couple of times. AM1090Seattle.com. That's the one where right on the homepage it says, what should we do to replace Al Franken? Why don't you give him an answer, Peter B. Collins, and in your own words, tell him why. AM1090Seattle.com. The other one is in Miami, Florida. It's AM940SouthFlorida.com. That's AM940SouthFlorida.com. And there, just roam around a little bit and find the email address and drop a note to the folks there. And just let them know what you think of the Peter B. Collins Show and why you think it would be great for these fine radio stations in Seattle and Miami to add the Peter B. Show live to their daily lineups. Again, those email or those website addresses, one more time, AM1090Seattle.com. And AM940SouthFlorida.com. One other item, if you visit NonstopRadio.com, our friend Aldous in Madison, Wisconsin, has a new effort underway to support Progressive Talk Radio. Check it out, and if you can help, please do so. Now to your calls. Peter V. in Monterey. Good to hear from you again, Peter. How are you today?
Good, thank you. Welcome back, Mr. Collins.
Well, thank you, sir.
I had a quick reference to that gospel music that you just played, how appropriate. And I was wondering if you happened to see possibly the most frightening movie of the year. It makes the Texas Chainsaw Massacre appear to be a Disney creation, and that would be Jesus Camp.
You know, I'm aware of it, but I didn't sit through it.
Oh, my. Well, it's got the redeemed Reverend Ted Haggard in reprising his role again as America's premier evangelical creepy guy.
And protector of our utes?
And protector of the utes, yes.
Oh, boy. Well, is it out on DVD? Cause I'll...
Yes. Yes, it is. It is currently out into the blockbuster world, yes.
Okay, because I didn't want to go to a theater and encourage them.
Well, it also includes former Ring of Fire radio host Mike Papantonio, I believe.
Papantonio is correct, uh-huh.
Yes, he makes a stellar appearance as a radio personality and a voice of reason. And again, the name of the DVD is Jesus Camp, and I highly recommend it. But again, not to be viewed by children or people with weak dispositions.
Okay, I'll take that under advisement.
And one other quick comment I had. I noticed in the news cycle again today, Peter, where a distressed white woman has rescued the disastrous Bush administration and our Iraq policy, the psycho NASA girl, and I wondered if you could comment on that.
You know, I only know a little bit about that story, and honestly, the stuff I've heard is so tabloidish.
Yes,
I'm gonna pass on it, and if I have something really, you know, important to say about it, you'll hear it. But my practice is to just ignore Michael Jackson's stories.
The
guy who got the free ride back to the U.S. from Thailand by claiming that he was there when JonBenet died. I leave that to Nancy Grace and the predators like Greta Van Facelift. And honestly, you know, I've heard a little bit about it, but I don't care to comment. Ask me about the Senate filibuster, because I spent an hour last night watching those guys tangle instead of all that other crap on TV.
That's what I meant. I didn't mean to imply anything other than what an absolute waste of the airwaves. And again, it seems to me that any time the administration gets into trouble, we can count on a distressed white woman somewhere in the world to lead the cycle. And again, I wish you all the luck that you so deserve, Peter, because you got such a quality program on getting on to the other Seattle stations and the others.
Well,
keep up the good work.
Seattle and Miami are in our sights, so feel free to weigh in there if you'd like to.
I'll do that, Peter. Thank
you. Okay, thank you, Peter. Now to Ben and Salinas. Hi, Ben. You're on the air.
Good afternoon, Peter. I'm going to hit you with a direct question.
Okay.
Okay, here's the deal. We have given the keys to the car to a non-democratic Congress, right? The House and the Senate.
Right.
My question to you is this. Do they have the will? Well, they have the way. There's impeachment and there's cutoff of all monies. Mm-hmm. They handle the purse strings. Does this Congress have the will to stop what the Bush administration is doing to the Constitution, to our Treasury, and to we the people, or don't they? I'm sensing that there's no fire in the belly. All these news briefs about who's the upcoming candidate for the next election, that's 2 years away. We don't need to hear about that crap.
Now, Ben, you asked a great direct question, then you went into the Joe Biden.
Well, I'm sorry. Yeah, let's say that I am.
No, I want to answer your question directly, and yes. I am sorry to say it is a simple two-letter word, no. The fire is in Russ Feingold. The fire is in members of the House like Maxine Waters, Dennis Kucinich, yes. Barbara Lee, Sam Farr. But by and large, the Democrats don't have that fire. And we are also facing the problem of the very narrow majority in the Senate and the Lieberman effect.
Okay.
Also, I have to say that Chuck Hagel and John Warner went with their party yesterday, and I don't understand that. They have delayed the debate on the resolutions that they have brought forward that they consider so important, and I don't get that. I don't know what the Bush administration got to them with to block it. Gotta go, Ben. Thanks for your call. More next in the Free Speech Zone. I'm Peter B.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
ZNS Auto Sales in Monterey, family-owned for 30 years, is where partnership works. Whether you're a first-time buyer and need a safe economy car, or looking for a truck or SUV or a classic, they have it all. Call ZNS before you make that final decision. ZNS open every day at 1179 Del Monte Boulevard between the Navy Postgraduate School and Lake El Estero. High-quality used cars at the very best prices. ZNS Auto Sales, where partnership works.
Locally owned, the Ugly Mug Coffee House in Soquel Village. Always lively, always wired. We serve the best organic, shade-grown coffees, loose leaf teas, original bar drinks, and delectable goodies in a friendly community atmosphere. Open every day, 6 a.m. till 9 p.m., complete with music, Wi-Fi, and the craziest regulars in Santa Cruz. Meet your friends or just bring yourself to the Ugly Mug, Soquel Drive at Porter Street, for lively conversations and the best cappuccino in town. Hey, what do you want? Ray of frickin' sunshine? Delicious.
The Ugly Mug, Soquel Drive and Porter Street in Soquel.
I am Attorney Sean Mills. Sometimes life does not take the direction that you plan. If you find yourself in need of an honest attorney, call me. I can advise you on both criminal and civil matters. Do not settle for an attorney who simply went to college and law school when you can work with an attorney with significant life experience who uses a common sense approach to everyday legal problems. If you think you need an attorney, I will be glad to offer you a no-obligation consultation and evaluation of your legal issue with no sugarcoating. If you think you have a potential legal issue, it is important that you speak to a qualified attorney as soon as possible. Call me at 831-648-7060. That's 831-648-7060. I am Attorney Sean Mills.
Children's books, educational toys, and games your entire family will enjoy are always in season at locally owned and operated Thinker Toys. Hi, this is Nurse Rona of Childhood Matters. We know that our children learn by playing, and the caring staff at Thinker Toys will help you choose the ideal gift for toddlers through teens. Stop by our beautiful Carmel store at 7th and San Carlos and the just renovated Thinker Toys at Del Monte Center in Monterey. Thinker Toys is open daily.
Attention all KRXA listeners. Are you worried about not having enough money for a truly comfortable retirement? Were you aware that you've had the ability to buy real estate within your individual retirement account without government penalty since 1974? Bet you didn't know that. Only 2% of the U.S. population is even aware of the law. If your IRA had been invested in California real estate 20 years ago, you'd be a multimillionaire today. The retirement specialist will show you how to purchase California property right inside your IRA. They've helped nearly 10,000 people in the last four decades achieve their retirement goals by rolling over their IRAs and 401ks into profitable California real estate. Give them a call at 831-794-8485 to learn more about this underutilized retirement investment. That's 831-794-8485. If you want to achieve financial independence by the time you retire, then call now. There's nothing to lose, only valuable knowledge to gain. Call 831-794-8485 and ask for the retirement specialist.
Hi, this is Scott Dick, your host of the Tasty Planet Radio Show. Every Saturday from 1 to 4 p.m., I explore the world of food, wine, and travel across the U.S. and around the world. I interview authors, chefs, winemakers, restaurateurs, brewers, and others that make our world so delicious. Join me and my guests every Saturday from 1 to 4 p.m. for tasty new shows, or visit the Tasty Planet on the web by going to www.tastyplanet.org. Listen in and have a good appetite.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show, and we're in the free speech zone taking your calls. You know the rules, any subject, any viewpoint from anywhere within the sound of my voice. And even Elvis can call this program.
Calling Elvis, is anybody home? Calling Elvis, I'm here all alone. But he'll leave the building, I can't get to the phone. Calling Elvis.
But Leonard's calling, too. Leonard from Glendale, welcome back to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hey, thanks a lot. It's good to hear you again.
Well, it's nice to be back in the saddle here.
Yeah, well, I like to hear your voice. I mean, because, you know, I have a lot of passion, and I'll be quite frank, I get very angry. And I like moderating people, you know, who sit back and reason and kind of tame the kind of passions I have. And I don't mean that by violence. It's just this anger and frustration. So I like to hear you guys on the radio because at least I know there's other people out there that are trying to do something about the madness that's going on. But I was talking to your producer, and maybe some of your callers will know what's going on here, especially in Phoenix. Apparently, it was at Democrats.com, and I think through the Phoenix chapter of Veterans for Peace, that there's some type of nonviolent, more specified operation going on called something like Operation Occupation. And what I read was, Peter, that in the Washington, D.C. office of John McCain, a group of American citizens were arrested, some being belonging to Code Pink, Veterans for Peace, apparently a priest, and this is where I was hoping some of the callers would call up and tell us about, who has just gotten out of jail for protesting at the School of the Americas.
Oh.
So these different members have come together, and they're basically trying to be creative through nonviolent techniques of trying to get people to listen. And Mr. McCain's legislative liaison or aide would not come out and address them. And according to the email version I got, at the direction of McCain's office, somebody from McCain's office, they called the police and were taken off. And I'm concerned because I have a friend here from Phoenix named Liz who belongs to Code Pink and heard secondhand from somebody else she was arrested. So evidently there is an operation now going on. They're taking it to a new level. And I don't blame them, quite frankly. You know, I'm deciding, do I sacrifice everything? Because it wasn't for my daughter, I really wouldn't care about my teaching certificate. But I'm getting to the point now where, because if you're arrested, that's probably as good as ending a career here for teaching. But these brave people are doing what they have to do, and I don't know what else to do to get our Democratic leaders. We're going to go into Iran now, so I know that they say they tried to pass a non-binding resolution. I just feel like we've come out again on the short end of the stick, and I'm starting to lose faith in our Democratic leadership. You know, these are clearly impeachable offenses, all these things that are taking place, and we need to hear someone bringing that up. Even if we lose, we'll be more respected for standing for what's right. So,
well,
anyway,
Leonard, I share your concern, and as I mentioned, I watched for over an hour last night the debate in the Senate on C-SPAN, and I do believe that the Democrats think they're doing the best thing they can at the moment, which is these non-binding resolutions. But even given how toothless they are and how easily ignored they can be by this power power-hungry Bush administration. They are caught between renegades like Joe Lieberman, who, you know, joined the Republicans to stop any debate from taking place, and there are divisions in the Democratic ranks. It's getting better. And this whole process of the non-binding resolution, I think, has helped coalesce at least a stronger unity on the Democratic side.
You're right, Peter. I believe in that, and I think now it shows all the more for the focus, the spotlight, to be put on the blood that's going to be on the hands of these Republican senators and so-called independent Joe Lieberman, the blood that's going to be on their hands when more of our soldiers are, every day now that they're dying, that's more blood on their hands, and we should not let the American people forget that these men did not take a stand like Al Gore's father did while he was in the Senate, and from what I believe, lost his seat in the Senate for standing against the Vietnam War. I would much rather have somebody who stands up and maybe loses one election. That's the kind of person I want to see, and I do expect the Democrats to do that. I think they should stop worrying about their presidential aspirations and start taking a stand. That's why, you know, I'm a Democrat. I want them to take a stand. So
okay,
thanks a lot.
I hear you. And the thing I'd add there, Leonard, is that it appears in some ways that the presidential aspirations are helping this process of moving the Democratic Party in a more progressive direction. I am warming up to John Edwards. I am pleased to see him take a hard line on the Iraq War and to excoriate his Democratic colleagues to really confront the administration. Same about Russ Feingold, although he's not a candidate for president. I wish he were. Edwards, though, I still have some concerns because he's taking a very hard line toward Iran and parroting the Bush administration on those talking points. That said, he has a new health care proposal, and let me outline it for you briefly. Edwards has an ambitious plan that could add as much as $120 billion a year to our health care bill. Money for the proposal would come from increased taxes on well-to-do families, from new fees to be paid by companies that refuse to provide health insurance for their workers, and through steps to streamline delivery of health services. Now, I haven't seen the word single payer in the Edwards plan. I haven't studied it in detail, so I will withhold that criticism until I see it fleshed out more. But I do give John Edwards credit for pushing issues that force his Democratic challengers like Hillary Rodham Clinton and others to move to the left. And I think that's a very healthy development in the Democratic Party. Up next, Tom in Coos Bay, Oregon, listening to KBBR. Hello, Tom.
Hi, Peter. How are you doing?
Good, thanks.
I'd like to talk about this post-traumatic stress issue.
Sure.
I was drafted in 1967. I ended up in a non-combatant Army role, but, you know, was part of it. And I think part of the problem that we're facing with especially the Vietnam veterans and what I'm seeing now with the Iraq War veterans is the failure to transfer the onus, the blame, to the people who put them in that situation. I mean, we were ordered to do that, and then we end up having to twist our minds around what's wrong with us because we somehow cracked, you know, because we were ordered to fight a war that was illegal and unjust. I mean, even in the veterans organizations for Vietnam, I see now, you know, there's no admittance that, no, we were wrong. We shouldn't have been there. We shouldn't have been doing that. You know, it's hard to say that all of our comrades died in vain, but they did. And it's going to be the same with Iraq. And I think that's what aggravates this post-traumatic stress thing, is that we just fail to admit that the blame isn't us. The blame is the people who told us to do it.
Well, number one, you know, by degree, my impression, and, you know, let me be candid in case you don't know this, I have never served in the military, and therefore I've never seen a day of combat. So my this is speculative on my part. But my feeling is, number one, that there's some people who find it traumatic simply to be part of a killing machine, which is what an army is. There are others who, get into a combat situation where they have to kill somebody, and they live with that memory for one reason or another for a very long time. And then when I look at the scene in Iraq, where American forces are now on the streets with these Iraqi, I got to put it in quotes, soldiers, and they don't know the allegiances of the soldiers they have deployed with or the people they encounter on the streets. And so they're out there with an Iraqi soldier in uniform who, let's say, is a Shiite. And that Shiite goes out and has a grudge against Sunnis. It's really well known. But the American soldier in that situation can't trust the Iraqi who he's embedded with, can't trust anybody who he sees on the street, because he doesn't have a clue about identifying the difference between a Sunni and a Shiite and who's friend or foe. And then they get into a crunch situation where their lives are on the line and they have to make extremely difficult decisions. And as I think about that situation and how many of our service members are experiencing it today, it's hard to believe that they would come away unscathed.
Well, I agree with you, and I think in a way you just reinforced what I said. In World War II, we had the same sort of situation with people coming back having faced these same traumatic situations, but feeling justified in the fact that they were actually fighting for a just cause, for the right reasons. In Korea, you know, it got a little bit fogged, but it was probably closer to that. In Vietnam, we had lost all that. You know, quite frankly, there was no reason. I don't think any of us had any clue what the heck we were doing other than trying to get through the tour. You know, by the time we get to this thing, you know, now it's just pure survival and making sure that you and your comrades don't die. You're right. They don't know who to shoot. Quite frankly, it seems to change day by day. I mean, who is the target anymore? So what I'm saying is that what has to happen.
Excuse me, Tom. They also.
The feeling is that we have to put the onus on the people who told us to do this.
Right. Yes. The policy is the underlying source of the damage that our veterans will carry for the rest of their lives.
And as I'm saying, and this is why I just can't get behind anybody who voted, you know, to support the president's getting into this. You know, we know the candidates I'm talking about. It's like, no, you put us in this situation.
Right, and you can't maneuver your way out with a lot of, you know, artful tacking and change of rhetoric. And I think you and I both know we're talking about the senator from New York who wants to be our next president.
I think we're talking about a lot of people.
All right, thank you, Tom.
Thanks.
Nice to hear from you.
Bye.
In Coos Bay today. Steve in Watsonville, you're next on the Peter B. Collins Show. Thanks
hey,
for holding.
Peter, you know, the Nuremberg courts determined that unprovoked military aggression is, in and of itself, an inherent evil and a crime against humanity.
Mm-hmm.
Now Bush is positioning yet another carrier group to nuke Tehran, and I suspect the W will go down in history not only as the worst, and I'm afraid the last, United States president, but also as the worst enemy of humanity in all of history, making Hitler, Genghis Khan, and Attila look like pikers because they didn't have nukes.
Well, we are a rogue nation in the eyes of many people in this world, and the same people believe that the U.S. is a much greater threat to peace and stability than any of the provocateur nations that one would identify, and I'm including Syria, Iran, Pakistan, and, of course, the factions in Iraq. Anything else you want to add, Steve?
Well, just all those ones that you named, any one of them are likely to be a foil for W to say, oh, well, they have nukes, so now we got to nuke them.
Well, I think he's clearly looking for that excuse.
Absolutely.
And if he has to concoct it, that's not.
Well, Hitler got away with it, didn't he?
Beneath him. You're talking about the Reichstag fire?
I'm talking about the invasion of Poland, the invasion of Sudetenland, the invasion of France.
Mm-hmm.
He justified all of that to the German people, didn't he?
Yes, he did. All right, Steve, thank you very much. Appreciate your call. Now to Paula in Marina, California. Hello, Paula.
Hi there, Peter.
How you doing?
I'm doing really good. It's good to hear you back on the air again. I wanted to kind of go back up to healthcare issues because I think it's really important and you know, that people understand that health insurance companies are insurance companies and insurance companies are for-profit investment companies. And a lot of people seem to miss that point. I think they pay in a premium and all of these things are paid out. And healthcare for profit, out of necessity, has to grow their funds. But what they're really doing is they're, just like your car insurance or anybody else, they're going to pay out as little as possible. And in order to maintain a larger fund that they can invest and make profit for their stockholders. And it's one of the reasons why for-profit healthcare does not work. And it's really important that our leaders and people who want to be our leaders and run for office get this and begin a program of turning that back around. In this country, we, you know, many people as the middle class erodes want to be wealthy, but how we define prosperity has to change. Prosperity has to be sufficiency of health care for all citizens, and a number of other things, affordable housing. But this health care thing, people miss that point a lot. These are investment companies. It's their job to hold on to as much of that money so they can invest it. They squeeze the doctors. Who your health care provider is your doctors, your nurses, your physical therapists, and they're being squeezed by these people, and your health care is being directed by people who want to hold on to money to invest for profit. And that's just got to stop in this country.
Well, Paula, you described it very well, and I just put it in a little different, simpler way. Our experiment with for-profit delivery of health care in this country is an utter failure. And, concurrently, I state that health care is a right for every American in the wealthiest country in the world, and we simply have to confront it and fix it and pay for it. Thanks for your call, Paula.
Every day is an endless train.
We'll continue. More of your calls coming up in the Free Speech Zone. There's a line available for you right now at 888-5-PETER-B. You're in tune with the Peter B. Collins Show.
To your station on time, and you'll find out every trick in the book, and that there's only one way to get things done. You'll find out the only way to the top is looking out for number one. I mean you.
You're listening to KRXA 540.
Tell you what I got cooking, Dinners Ready. I went to dinnersready.com, chose 8 gourmet dinners, made an appointment, and went to their storefront in the Country Club Gate Center in Pacific Grove and prepared the meals there myself. Now I'm cooking them in my own home.
What's that you say? Dinners Ready?
That's right, Dinners Ready. It's the newest concept in home cooking. They do all the shopping and chopping, and I get all the credit. If you're too busy to go in and make your dinners, they'll even do it for you. So sign up at dinnersready.com, stop by and see them in the Country Club Gate Center in Pacific Grove, or give them a call at 645-9100. That's 645-9100. Dinner's ready!
This is Frank Don. On Sunday evenings at 7 p.m. here on KRXA 540 a.m., join me for Frank Don's Astrology Hour, a live call-in program to discuss astrology, the astrology of the world, and your own personal astrology. Let me answer your questions, and let me teach you how astrology can help you make better life choices. Here on KRXA 540 a.m. from 7 to 8 every Sunday evening, join me for Frank Don's Astrology Hour.
Every Sunday morning at 10, listen to Rock Roller Real Estate. The number one Sunday morning Bay Area real estate show is now on KRXA 540. If you want to learn about investing, 1031 exchanges, buying and selling high-end homes, and where the hottest real estate markets are, this is the show for you. Rock Roller Real Estate, the Bay Area's number one Sunday morning real estate show, now covering the Central Coast. For more information on how to become a guest, call 408-892-3376. Rock Roller Real Estate.
Final look at Central Coast traffic. We still have a major injury accident working in Aromas. Eastbound 129 after Rogie Lane. This is an SUV that went off the roadway and actually down an embankment over on the shoulder. Major injuries reported in this. So Mercy Crews, CHP still on scene, and they're blocking that entire roadway at that point. So again, it's eastbound 129 after Rogie Lane in Aromas. So if at all possible, you need to make your way around that and use an alternate route because that stretch of the roadway is closed. Also have a stalled pickup truck in your way in Santa Cruz County. This is northbound 1. After Buena Vista Drive, it's partially blocking that left-hand lane. CHP on scene just waiting for a tow truck to arrive and clear it all the way out of there. It's the JCPenney half-day clearance sale this Wednesday only. Stores open at 11 a.m. Save 75% or more off repriced final clearance items. JCPenney, see store for details. I'm Dio with traffic on KRXA 540.
10, the Peter B. Collins Show continues, 9 minutes away from the hour. I make these little notes to myself, and then I get distracted or involved in all these conversations with callers. I wanted to mention that on Friday, in the first hour of the PBC show, we're going to talk with Cliff Schechter, who runs a blog called RealMcCain.com. And for you McCain watchers in Arizona, you got to check this out. Cliff Schechter with us coming up on Friday. Also on tomorrow's program, we're going to get a live report on the court-martial proceedings against Lieutenant Aaron Watata. Aaron Glantz will be joining us to file that report. That's tomorrow here on the Peter B. Collins Show. And here's an item that came in over my email in the last 24 hours, and this is interesting, because on right-wing talk radio, there is an effort to disparage the new Speaker of the House, Nancy Pelosi, claiming that she is drunk with power because a request was made about the use of military jets to fly her to San Francisco. And it turns out that Dennis Hastert, the predecessor as Speaker of the House, routinely used military aircraft to fly to Illinois, where his home is. And now, when Pelosi apparently didn't initiate this on her own, but the sergeant-at-arms in the House inquired of the military about the availability of these flights, it has turned into a broadside attack on Speaker Pelosi. Don't believe it, okay? DV joins us next in Michigan. DV, thanks for holding on. You're next.
Hello, Peter. Hi. It's good to get in touch with you. I've talked with Mike Malloy from time to time, and I was just...
Just tell me what town you were in Michigan.
Oh, I'm in a little town called Newaygo.
Newaygo?
Yep, it's on the Muskegon River.
Oh, okay.
Dumps out into that town.
I used to spend some time on Crooked Lake, which is near Petoskey.
Oh, well, that's quite a bit north, but yeah. I've also lived up in Traverse City area, so I've been close to where you're talking about.
Great.
And,
yeah.
Well, what I called about, and I can't even remember if I heard this on Randy Rhodes or I heard this on a rebroadcast of the Ring of Fire with Mike Papantonio and
Let's practice that. Papantonio.
That's hard to say, isn't it? Okay. Well, anyway, bless his heart. But what we were talking about, what I heard them talk about, what I was going to call about then until I found out it was a rebroadcast, was why did Kerry concede so easily in 2004? Well, a book by J.H. Hatfield might just tell you a little bit about that. You see, they're both skull and bones from Yale.
Mm-hmm.
And that kind of bugs me. Actually, it bugs me a lot. So I didn't know if you had any thoughts about that or not. I know it's probably off topic for what you...
Oh, come on. There's nothing off topic unless you wanted to discuss recipes or something or gardening. I'd probably...
Well, actually, yeah, I'm looking at shrimp Creole, but we'll deal with that some other time.
I mean, what I have to say is I can't prove the collusion that existed there at Skull and Bones. There's a recent movie with Matt Damon, whose title I can't summon. Matt?
I remember, yeah.
Matt, do you know the name of the new Matt Damon movie?
Well.
But it's all about Skull and Bones, and it's a fascinating Hollywood depiction. But I've never been there. Say again?
Well,
The Good Shepherd. Yeah, it's called The Good Shepherd.
Oh, okay.
And it's worth seeing. It's a lengthy film, but it kind of gives you the backdrop of the development of the CIA and how, at least in the case of this movie story, they recruited people from Skull and Bones because of their history of skullduggery. But I really can't say with any authority that John Kerry blinked because of Skull and Bones. I think he thought that it would ruin his chances to run in 2008 if he was seen as a bad loser in 2004.
Okay.
And I think that his patrician background, his years in the Senate, contribute to that mentality. And I can't rule out the Skull and Bones history. I just don't know. But there are other factors that seem a little more direct and a little more obvious to me.
Well, I guess you go back to where Barbara Bush was on Larry King, and she says, anybody, you know, criticizes my kids, I'll kill them. And then you think more about the elder Bush's involvement. I don't know. It all kind of adds up.
Mm-hmm.
And the J.H. Hatfield, how he disappeared. Well, I mean, how he was found dead in a motel room.
Mm-hmm.
Which sounded so much like a CIA hit.
Yeah. Well, DD, I thank you for the call. I need to jump to another one before I run out of time here.
Bless your heart, Peter.
Great to have you listening in Michigan. I appreciate that. Jake in Arcata, you're next here. Go right ahead, Jake.
Hey, Peter B., how's it going?
Doing okay.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting you brought up Hatfield. If people haven't read Hatfield's book, Fortunate Son, they need to read that, because mm-hmm. that is the ultimate biography of Bush.
Right. And he's the one who disappeared after he published that book, and he was first discredited, and then I don't know what happened to him, but...
Well, that's right. And the big charge that drove the Republicans crazy was that, in fact, the reason Bush was AWOL from 1972 to 73 from the Guard was he was convicted of cocaine possession that was later expunged from his record by a judge that was friends with his father,
mm-hmm.
George Bush Sr. So this is the charge that was made in that book that Bush has never really answered to this day.
Right.
You can't even answer where he was for those 18 months when he was supposedly serving the country. Well, I don't know, protecting us from what, a Mexican invasion? I mean, the fact is Bush was not only AWOL, Cheney didn't go to Vietnam, but these guys, they want to send poor kids to go die for who? For Exxon and Halliburton. All I got to say is, you know, Peter, it's this simple. Exxon made $40 billion cash profit last year. You know, considering the fact that this war in Iraq is basically for companies like ExxonMobil, they can afford to pay higher taxes. There's no reason to put higher taxes on people who work for a living. Just tax the corporations, and we can pay for health care. We don't need to cut Medicare. We don't need to cut health care for poor people. Yeah, it's just absolutely obscene what the Republicans are trying to do with this budget. And it's time the Democrats, since they did regain control of the Congress, act like it. Act like you have control of the Congress for once, Democrats, and tell Bush to go to hell. It's that simple.
I like your fire, Jake. That's a great way to end the show today. Thank you.
Thanks, Peter.
All right. We're going to saddle up Trigger here, ride off in. Oh, the sun's already set, but we'll ride off into it anyway. I'll be back at you tomorrow, same time, same stations. Will you join me?
Happy trails to you.
The Peter B. Collins Show is produced in San Francisco by Matt Renner, who does a fabulous job. Visit our website, peterbcollins.com, for links to our archives and pictures of the guy behind the microphone.
Keep smiling until then. Who cares about...
Hey, good looking. What you got cooking? How's about cooking something up with me?
I'll tell you what I got cooking. Dinner's ready. I went to dinnersready.com, chose 8 gourmet dinners, made an appointment, and went to their storefront in the Country Club Gate Center in Pacific Grove and prepared the meals there myself. Now I'm cooking them in my own home.
What's that you say? Dinner's ready?
That's right. Dinner's ready. It's the newest concept in home cooking. They do all the shopping and chopping, and I get all the credit. If you're too busy to go in and make your dinners, they'll even do it for you. So sign up at dinnersready.com, stop by and see them in the Country Club Gate Center in Pacific Grove, or give them a call at 645-9100. That's 645-9100. Dinner's ready!
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. Astronaut Lisa Marie Nowak was about to be released today when authorities in Orlando added a new, more serious charge in her attack on Colleen Shipman, attempted first-degree murder.
Murder was the plan, and it just was not able to be carried out.
Prosecutor Amanda Cohen says Nowak had a loaded BB gun, a steel mallet, and a knife when she confronted Shipman in a parking garage at Orlando International Airport.
What she did was spray her with pepper spray. And no more.
Defense lawyer Donald Lickebach got his client out on bail with a GPS monitor. NOAC's bosses at NASA have placed her on leave, saying they're deeply saddened by this tragic event. CBS News correspondent Sharon Alfonsi has more.
Lisa Nowak was at home in space.
It's incredible looking out the window.
But today, her high-flying career came crashing to the ground. The 43-year-old astronaut was charged with attempted murder. Nowak is a married mother of three, but police say she was in love with space shuttle pilot William Opheline. The two had trained together.
Opheline is single. He's made no public comment. House Democratic leaders have called a vote next week on a resolution opposing the troop surge in Iraq. Debate in the Senate is still stalled by a stalemate between Republicans and Democrats. Defense Secretary Robert Gates talked about the new strategy at a Capitol Hill hearing today.
Gates dismisses talk that the surge of U.S. troops is America's last chance. He tells a Senate committee Iraq will not be left in chaos.
If this operation were not to succeed, and we clearly are hoping it will succeed, I would be irresponsible if I weren't thinking about what the alternatives might be.
Pressed to predict when U.S. forces might start leaving, he said his hope would be late this year. Barry Bagnato, CBS News, Washington.
The consumer group Public Citizen raises questions about so-called third-generation contraceptives.
Why are they on the market? Why are hundreds of women getting blood clots from them every year who wouldn't be getting them if they were taking older, safer birth control pills?
Dr. Sidney Wolf says there's a small risk of blood clots with all birth control pills, but some of the newer, low-dose versions can double the risk. His group is asking the FDA to pull them off the market. Frankie Lane started out as a jazz singer, but he's best remembered for pop songs like Mule Train. He sold 100 million records in his time. Frankie Lane.